Good morning. I'd like to call the September 14, 2010 special meeting of the City of Daytona Beach Code Enforcement Board to order, please. Madam Secretary, would you call the roll?
Mr. Brown?
Here.
Mr. Lawrence?
Here.
Mr. Harrington?
Here.
Mr. Smart?
Here.
Ms. Hines is not present, and Mr. Stevens?
Here. All members of city staff will be testifying. Would you please come forward and be sworn? Is there any member of the code enforcement board who would like to disclose any ex parte communications with any party involved in this case? Okay. Next order of business is to elect a vice chairman. I'd like to nominate, if I can, Ms. Himes. She's not here, unfortunately.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to nominate Mr. Harrington.
Okay.
Can I comment? I'm relatively new here, as almost everyone is, and I think that I'm not quite ready to be chairman. I think Mr. Bourne's is an obvious choice since he's been here many years and has the experience, and I'd like to nominate him in case Larry somehow can't be here. I don't want to learn on the job because I think it's unfair to people coming before.
I agree with you, Mr. Harrington. Unless Mr. Bourne has changed his mind about being vice chair, because he was, and he said because of his work schedule he couldn't do it any longer. Have you changed your mind, Mr. Bourne?
Not really. I would like to nominate Mr. Rico Brown. We can all see he's a man of substance.
Well, now everybody's nominated. How do we vote on that when we have four nominations?
The first person gets majority of the winner.
So we got to vote for each one?
Well, first of all, is Mr. Bourne's accepting or not?
I would rather not. I'm working on a mediation situation, mortgage foreclosures, and it's taking up a lot of my time.
And are you also refusing the nomination, Mr. Eric?
I think so. If Mr. Brown would take it on, I'm all in favor of him.
Okay.
Well, you do have me on longevity.
Yeah. We've all been here, other than Mr. Stevens and Ms. Brown, less than a year.
But you've done well. Yeah. Everybody's done well. I appreciate the support.
Mrs. Tynes has been on the board of the Justins and been a chairman. A board similar to this.
Well, we have two nominations.
Well, here we go.
Ms. Hines is not here.
And we don't know whether she'd accept it or not.
Mr. Brown, are you accepting?
Sure.
Would you all like to take a vote?
I'll second Mr. Brown's nomination and then we can vote.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to nominate Mr. Brown. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Thank you.
Oh, I get to move now. How about that?
See what happens when you nominate somebody?
You get to move.
You left the corner.
Sorry about that.
To my left and my right, Mr. Brown, there's lots of power, so be real.
Absolutely.
This man and this one.
Should be.
Case number one, and the reason for the action today is to hear case number CEB0910176, Martin Ebersbach, 605 Tanglewood Street. And I'm sure the respondent is here, so you can come forward along with counsel and also John. Okay. The case number again is CEB0910176. Martin Ebersbach is cited for failure to correct violations to the Land Development Code, Article 1, Section 5.3, at 605 Tanglewood Street. The violation is for non-conforming use. The respondent was first notified according to city record on July 14, 2010. The property was posted, providing notification. action to be taken today is to determine compliance and non-compliance, or non-compliance. Would you like him to be sworn?
Raise your right hand.
Yes.
What can you tell us about it, John? Especially the reason for the non-conforming use.
Good morning. John Stenson, Code Enforcement Inspector, Daytona Beach Police Department. The reason for this violation of non-conforming use at that location is that it's being utilized as a clubhouse, which it's not zoned for. It's zoned R2A, which is residential. There are many other areas within the city or on the borders of the city that will allow this use, but not where at this location, 605 Tanglewood.
When you say you're being used as a clubhouse, John, can you be more specific just for us to have a better understanding as to how it's being used?
All of the events.
Club or kids?
Motorcycle club, correct.
Okay.
So is it used year-round as a clubhouse or just for events?
Both. Both year-round and events. It's more visible during the events.
Does anyone live on the property?
Yes, they do. But according to our records, it's not the property owner.
Does any other member of the board have any questions, comments?
Excuse me, who is the owner of the property?
Martin Ebersbach.
Does he live there?
Not according to the records. The only record that shows that he owns the property is the Volusia County Property Appraiser's website.
Thank you.
John, do you have anything further you'd like to provide for the board? Information?
Not for myself, but Deputy Chief Bears. You may want to interject.
Can I ask another question?
Yes.
When you say a clubhouse, is the place furnished as a house, or is it empty and there's chairs, or how is it?
It was built as a single-family home. It's on a larger than usual piece of property. However, it is built as a single-family home and zoned as such.
But is the inside furnished as a house, or?
I couldn't testify what it looks like on the inside.
So.
The determination that it's a clubhouse, is that from the occupancy of people being there, or
from the outside activity that's continually occurring there?
Mr. Chair, if I can.
Sure.
And since there's a record on this, Anthony Jackson, Assistant City Attorney, Police Legal Advisor, and Counselor to the Code Department. Owner of a home is not in agreement that it's being used for a club or large use, which is a use that it's not permitted for, then we'll go ahead and proceed with a quasi-judicial hearing, and I'll bring forth other side evidence that we can present from Deputy Chief Bears on the matter, and you know, I'm sure I could even call Mr. Ebersbach himself and may probably answer a lot of the questions that you have.
Okay.
I think it is good time. That's what we're here today. I think that really should have been. We had it. We were here last time, and I think the reason that we asked for this special meeting because you couldn't be here, and he wanted to contest the matter. Is that correct, Mr. Robinson? This is a good
yes,
test.
Sir. Great. Okay. So, yeah, I didn't have that answer already. Okay. And I didn't know that was a matter of record already. I apologize.
You have a
as you said, I wasn't there.
Mr. Robinson, to cross-examination.
Okay. What I'd like to do, if I can, is go ahead and bring up Deputy Chief Pearson.
I think he needs to be cross-examined first.
Okay, well,
then you can bring up the Deputy Chief.
Well, if I may, then, in that case, from the perspective of, again, I had asked him to come forward in a manner that he normally would at the start of each proceeding and give just a general overview of the circumstance. if the alternative is not realizing that we are in the midst of a quasi-judicial proceeding, I did have questions I'd like to ask of him. My preference would be that much of what Deputy Chief Bears would testify to would probably be a preface to what would be testified to by.
Could you just recall him again?
Yes, that's what I would do.
Back up again if you want. I don't see any problem.
Yeah, so my preference would be to just call him back up so that make him available to any cross examination or anything else that's desired by Mr. Robinson. But at this time, I'd like to call Deputy Chief Bears.
I think, Mr. Robinson, what he's asking is if he could call Mr. Deputy Chief and then call him back for purpose of cross examination with the later time.
As long as I can cross examine.
Yeah, as long as.
Yes, he'll absolutely be available.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
Good morning. Stephen Barris, Deputy Chief of Police for the City of Daytona Beach.
Okay, and Deputy Chief, you made mention of an agency. How long have you been a deputy at the City of Daytona Beach?
I'm going on 5 years as a deputy chief and been employed with the City of Daytona Beach Police Department for 26 years.
Yeah, I said definitely. Yeah, police officer. So last 25 years, in that 25 years, have you been here at Daytona Beach?
Yes, sir.
And during that time period, were you specifically, have you had investigative training and those types of things over those years?
Yes, sir. Starting back when I started as a patrol officer, I then progressed through the detective division, Office of Special Investigations, major case unit, search warrant entry team, SWAT team, training division, support services, personnel and training, back to patrol, and then currently my assignment.
Have you been involved over those years in investigations regarding gangs, motorcycle groups, things like that, motorcycle clubs?
Yes, sir, I have.
Okay, and specifically regarding the outlaws?
Yes, sir.
Do you have knowledge of the outlaws as an organization?
Yes, sir, I do.
And is it substantial over a lengthy period of time? Or?
Since around 1988 when I was first in special investigations, which had to deal with the outlaws.
Okay, with your knowledge of the outlaws as an organization, have you had opportunity to view or access their club facilities?
Yes, I have.
Do you have knowledge?
That's a compound question. Are you saying view or inspect?
I can answer that.
I'll ask for clarification.
Not only have I viewed clubhouses in the past that were occupied by the outlaws, I have also been inside in a SWAT capacity during search warrants, which I entered into the clubhouse to view it from the inside. View it from the inside and the outside of all the clubhouses.
You had an opportunity to view club activities?
Yes, sir, I have. Numerous club activities.
And is there somewhat of a universal common knowledge view of what types of activities are common among the outlaws, particularly the motorcycle clubs in general?
Because the outlaws are worldwide. They have organizations in several different countries. They have chapters in several different states in the United States. Florida is one of those states that have a chapter in Daytona Beach, Jacksonville, Orlando, Charlotte County, Orange County. They're spread out throughout the state. I've had the opportunity to, I would say, interact with various members of the outlaws, not only in person, via telephone. We had a shooting incident at the old clubhouse on South Street where it was shot by a subject with a high-powered rifle. Had the opportunity to view that damage inside the clubhouse. It was fortified with Kevlar panels. So I have knowledge of what a clubhouse in Daytona Beach looks like and how it's been presented in the past.
And you have knowledge that there has been a clubhouse here in Daytona Beach?
Yes, sir, I have.
And for how long, to your knowledge?
The clubhouse originally was on Peninsula, at the corner of Main and Peninsula. I want to say it was 7, maybe North Peninsula, 17. I can't be sure of the exact address. we executed search warrants on that clubhouse. The outlaws then moved to a address on Beach Street. On Beach Street itself, and if I may just refer to some notes here. The Outlaws Clubhouse on Beach Street had a telephone number, 257-0500. Not only did I have personal knowledge of that telephone number, but it is also on the AT&T website at the time under Outlaws Motorcycle at 318 South, no, I'm sorry, on Beach Street. The clubhouse was moved to South Street. The number at the South Street address was 257-0500. Once again, it was in the yellow pages under Outlaws Motorcycle. There was a community meeting on at the Mulberry Neighborhood Watch several months ago. A gentleman who presented a business card to Inspector Stenson states Outlaws USA, cloudy 1%er, 605 Tanglewood, Daytona Beach, 257-0500. The number is consistent with not only the clubhouse on South Street, but the clubhouse phone number on Beach Street. They've kept the same number. The house on Beach Street, during the events, let me get back to Beach Street itself. During events, there is a large gathering of Outlaw Motorcycle Club members from all over the country. We've got photos to depict that. Not only are the outlaws present at these clubhouses, or at the clubhouse on Beach Street in particular, but also other clubs throughout the United States show up as a sign of hospitality, I guess, if you will. When the outlaws move from the Beach Street location, they move to a location on South Street. Same events transpired. Outlaws from all over the country, from all over the world, showed up at the biker events, Bike Week and Biketoberfest, in addition to other clubs in the area, which showed up at the clubhouse. They relocated from South Street to Tanglewood. There again, once they moved into the Tanglewood address, the house was changed from its normal color to black and white, which is the outlaw colors. The chairs that were in front of the Beach Street location, the South Street location, were moved to the Tanglewood location. So the operation itself, if you will, moved from location to location. At the clubhouse on Tanglewood, for the last 2 years since it's been in effect, I've been in contact with a subject by the name of Hillbilly. Hillbilly has the appearance, has the knowledge of being some type of a leader within the Outlaws Motorcycle Club. As he relayed information to me, the information was that he called the shots. The questions that he had for me at the time was, can we park? Where can we park? We're going to have a lot of people here. We want to try to make sure that you guys, meaning the police department, doesn't come in and do any unnecessary work. Make sure the parking is in accordance to laws. And I met with them. As a matter of fact, over the last 3 weeks, I probably have 8 phone calls, messages from them on my phone. So we have been in contact with each other. Like I said, his role to me was a form of leadership. I have never spoken to Mr. Ebersbach, who is the owner. I have never spoken to him at all. Based on my observations at the clubhouse itself, there are outlaw members that show up at this residence all different times of the day, never a set pattern. None of them live there except for Mr. Graham. The only reason why I say he lives there is because that's the address that he has on his driver's license. I have never personally seen him there. But I can tell you that I have seen other members of the Outlaws from all over the Daytona Beach area some as far away as Fort Lauderdale at the residence. I have never witnessed Mr. Ebersbach there. The water that's assigned, the water bill that's assigned to that residence, is not in Mr. Ebersbach's name. It's in a Outlaw Motorcycle Club member's name. Other than the tax roll and the Volusia County Property Appraisers website, that's the only thing Mr. Ebersbach has his name on. I've never seen a vehicle there. I've never seen anything else that would lead me to believe that Mr. Ebersbach lives there.
Thank you, Deputy Chief. From your discussions or your conversations with Hillbilly, and based on the experiences you've had and training regarding the Outlaws and other clubs like that, but the Outlaws themselves and as an organization, did it appear that the organization itself are the ones that run then this facility?
Yes, it is.
He was speaking on behalf of the organization in terms of getting the approvals necessary, trying to alleviate the concerns of the local police department?
That's correct. And to go a step further, as you're well aware, our command post was out in front of the clubhouse at the last bike event. There were probably 400 to 500 various members of the organization there. Hillbilly was the only one that would talk, no one else. The local outlaw members would not even speak to me about the clubhouse. The probationary outlaws, called probates, would not speak. Their primary responsibility was sentry duty, guard duty, to watch the motorcycles that were up and down Beach Street, up and down North Street, up and down Tanglewood, and all the other residents that were affected. Hillbilly was the person that spoke on behalf of the outlaws, not Mr. Ebersbach in response to his residents, but the club organization itself.
Okay. Typically, organizations like this would have jackets or insignias or colors or something that tell you that people are members. Have you seen people that would indicate to you that it's used by membership? I mean, people that are members of the people that are going there.
Yes, and if I may, we have some photographs that can depict that a little bit further for you. These are the motorcycles that are parked out in front of the residence itself. This is some of the neighborhood shots. That's what I was talking about, probationary outlaws. As you can see, Connecticut, Tennessee, bottom rockers, which means that's the state that they're from. That's the outlaw. That's the business card that was given to Officer Stenson at the neighborhood watch meeting. That's across the street. That's the vacant lot that is filled with motorcycles, or were filled with motorcycles before we addressed it. That's in front of the clubhouse itself with all the motorcycles. That's the camping that goes on in the area by outlaw members, tents, and I believe we've even cited those residences also. Okay. So based on everything that I've said, based on my past experience with members of the Outlaws, their methods in Daytona Beach. This house is exactly the same as the other previous clubhouses that they've occupied. There's been no difference, with the exception of, I believe they might be a little bit more covert this time because they don't have the mailbox with the insignia. They don't have the AOA, which is their initials on the front door. The only consistency with this is the fact that the house is black and white. It's got the video cameras. It's got the tarps all the way around the fence. It's got the two big tents in the backyard. It's got the porta potties. It's got everything for large gatherings that they're planning for the bike events.
Deputy Chief, the Outlaws have a chapter here in Big Bunny.
That is correct.
And have you had any contact with regarding any other location as a clubhouse or a place where their members gather here in the Philippines?
No, sir. The on their website here again, which it's accessed by the public, they have the chapters in Florida, and Daytona Beach is one of those chapters.
And all of your training experiences during the other, would they have a chapter and not have a place where their members gather as a clubhouse?
No, absolutely not.
Now, the things that you showed us regarding the house and the observations you've made, they showed to you that they're being used for the benefit, the pleasure, the entertainment of the members of the organization.
Object just for legal conclusion, that's up to you. The panel made that determination based on the facts rather than.
Well, if you may.
Yeah, I was going to ask.
The ultimate decision is our faculty.
Right. I was going to ask counsel if I believe, and I'm not an attorney by any means, I believe Chief Deputy Beers can't offer his opinion. Do you agree?
I would disagree.
He's not actually making the final decision, which again is ours, but he can offer an opinion as to whether or not he believes those activities are taking place.
He's qualified as an expert.
Yeah, well, and I'll say to Mr. Tillman, because if he was being advised, he would come to Mr. Stevens. Obviously, the point here is, one, it's not a formal qualifying because we're on a quasi-judiciary. He has to presume that Deputy Chief Beers has substantial knowledge, substantial training, substantial experience in what occurs making such observations at these facilities in terms of identifying and acknowledging that they're club facilities. And the question here is that is. In whichever way he wants this question asked, it's a question of, from his observations, are these club facilities? Is it an ultimate point? It is an ultimate point, but this presentation is not a presentation that would limit the observer being an investigator in this nature of proceeding and giving you an ultimate point of fact for you to ultimately decide, but it's merely his opinion from the observations and his training.
Mr. Jeff, are you proffering him as a police officer with 26 years of experience?
Absolutely.
And giving us an opinion as a police officer?
Absolutely. Based upon his training and experience, as I have and I'd ask him to be able to answer that. And giving, as you'll have to rely on, give the weight to his testimony and his experience and his perspective.
See, you need to make a ruling on whether you believe that he can testify. If the opinion of the board disagrees, they can certainly overrule your decision.
I believe that Chief Deputy Beers, considering some of his experience and acknowledging the fact, as Mr. Jackson just alluded to, is not his opinion is not going to sway the opinion of the board one way or the other. I believe his opinion should be admitted.
Talking about public knowledge, once again, the Outlaws have a website. Not only is it a worldwide website, but they also have a Florida website. On that Florida website, there is a disclaimer. I can't give you verbatim, but basically it says that any derogatory information about any other motorcycle club, any offensive language will not be tolerated and will be deleted. Which means that whoever the webmaster is, whoever the person is that reviews this website, has the opportunity to delete and omit some of those posts on their guest book. What I have here is several posts from their website, and this is March 8th, 2010, which states, "Thanks for the hospitality last Saturday in Daytona. Had a great time. Love and respect the AOA world." There's another one. "Saw y'all on the news and how the police set a mobile command unit right in front of you guys. I support you guys. Don't let them intimidate you guys out of Daytona." There's another one. AOA SYLO, which stands for American Outlaws Association. Support your local outlaws.
Object relevance.
If I can.
If you go to the relevant or not, the ultimate issue would be how this clubhouse or not.
I sort of lean into it being not relevant because it doesn't necessarily identify the address.
That's fine. So his objection is sustained. Yes. That's the board
decision. I'll abstain that objection.
Okay. The next one. When?
Sustain my objection.
As to the specific thing stated, I believe. I don't think for anything they specified.
I think you said the chairman has said that anything to deal with the people making comments about the house is not relevant, and therefore he sustained the objection. So I think we need to go on to something else, Mr. Ransom.
Well, I don't know where he's going. Is that, I don't know what he's going to.
There's one post. Actually, there's two posts that outline the clubhouse. Went to Bike Week, rode by the Daytona Chapter Clubhouse, wall to wall, blank, 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 cops. This is bull, blank, blank, blank. If they were worried more about child murders and kidnappings as much as the AOA, there might be not as much. I'm not an AOA member, but I believe in them and support them in everything and proud wear my support shirt and would stand toe-to-toe with any member. This is bull, blank, blank, blank. What the Daytona cops and did, blank, me off. That's my opinion. Thank you for the hospitality in the clubhouse in Daytona Beach to the Bike Week. From a prospective outlaw, from Germany. So even on their website, on their guest book, there are people that have attended the activities during Bike Week at the clubhouse and wanted to send them a thank you note.
Just for specifics, Chief Deputy Beers, can you tell me us the date that you're referring to and the particular event so there's no question later?
These posts right here were from March of 2010. They go from March 4th 6th, 8th, 13th, 12th, and 15th.
And can I just, to better clarify for the board, was there a command post? I think you've already testified. There was a command post located at the Tanglewood address, observing that as the clubhouse for outlaws?
Yes, there was.
And during the event period, outlaws were present.
Yep.
Those pictures depicted.
Yes, there was.
And it was consistent with the things that you read, that outlaws were present during the events having activities at that location.
That's correct.
And the nature of the activities that you became aware of or observed, was there partying?
Yes, there was a large gathering. There was some type of an event going on in the backyard we couldn't see because of the tarps around the fence.
Food entertainment?
There were people, there were neighbors, there were people bringing in food, there was music, there were other clubs, there was outlaws, yes. That's correct.
And at that location, based on your observations, your training experience, that's the clubhouse of the outlaws.
Yes, it is.
Using it for club activities.
That's correct.
I don't have anything else to do.
Thank you.
Mr. Rico, what was the question that you asked the chair?
I was asking him to have Tony step back and talking to the mic. I don't know.
Okay, please to rest. I will hopefully don't ask.
Okay.
We're in a quiet judicial here. We can't talk to each other privately. So what you say? What you asked was just have him speak to the mic.
Speak to the mic.
Okay, fine. All right.
May I cross?
Yeah.
If you can bend that mic down towards you.
And if you would, Mr. Robinson, just make sure that red light is on. Is it on?
Deputy Chief, my name's Dave Robinson. I represent Martin Evers Park. This address is distinguishable from the previous
place on Beach Street that is to the east of it by the fact that there are no signs on this house, I think you testified. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And with all the pictures you took, you didn't take any pictures of the front of the house depicting the lack of signs, did you?
I think there might be some.
There's one partial picture of the garage.
Right, but if right there. If you're asking, no, there are no insignias. There is no what they call their Charlie, their emblem on the house.
Okay, so this house is in fact distinguishable from clubhouses that the outlaws had.
As far as the markings, yes, you can say that.
Okay. And you indicate that you were involved when they did the SWAT raid at the clubhouse on Beach Street?
The one on Peninsula and the one on Beach Street, yes.
Okay, and in both of those structures, there was a bar, was there not?
That's correct.
You've not been in this house. You don't know what the layout of it is, do you?
I'd be more than happy to go in, but no, I haven't. I haven't been invited inside.
It's a single-family house as opposed to the clubhouse on Beach Street, is it not?
Beach Street was a more of a commercial-type building with a bunk room in the back, a bar in the front, and a fortified steel door in the front.
Do you have no evidence that the door in the front of this house at Tanglewood is fortified, do you?
No, sir.
Now, this location is being, you're categorizing it as a club or a lodge, right?
Yes, sir.
You don't have any evidence of how Hillbilly was designated to speak to the outlaws, do you?
No, just from the conversations that I've had with him. Okay.
You have no evidence that he was ever elected to his position, do you?
I don't know, unless you can tell me what his exact position, his title is with the organization. But his portrayal to me was that he was the representative, he was a leader of the outlaws.
Okay, and I'm just reading from the code that it says governed by an elected body. So you have no knowledge of how he came to be the spokesperson, do you?
No, sir.
And this house is primarily designed as a single-family residence, is it not?
I believe so, yes, sir.
Okay. And it offers facilities and service. You don't know what the facilities are in there other than the portal that's out back, do you?
And once again, I've not been inside.
When was the first time you ever saw Mr. Martin Ebersbach?
Last week when he walked into the chambers.
Okay. So did you recognize him as Martin Ebersbach, or did you not know what he looked like prior to last week?
Except for his driver's license photo and the tattoo on his face that's not on the picture. It's the first time I recognized him.
Okay. So he could have been over to this residence on numerous occasions, and you may not have recognized him as being the owner. Is that correct?
He was never outside.
And the police posted this motorhome command post right across the street during bike week, did they not?
Yes, sir.
And what was the purpose of that?
Based on the community, the residents in the area that were afraid of the clubhouse being there and the large amount of outlaw motorcycle clubs. They have a well-founded fear. The outlaws, and it's on the news, it's on specials.
Did you ever talk to Susie Whitford, the lady that lives directly across the street?
Susie Whitford was a part-time officer with us, but I have not talked to her about the
do you recognize her in the force?
Yes, sir, I do.
Okay. And did she ever express any fear of the people that lived in that house?
I never talked to her.
But she lives at 611, which is right next door.
Right next door.
And except for Bike Week and Biketoberfest, there's little or no activity going on at this residence, is there?
It all depends on when you drive by. There are some days where I see no vehicles in the driveway. There are other days where I see motorcycles in the driveway. I have seen Christopher Keating, Louis the Lip, washing his motorcycle in the driveway. Christopher lives on Landvale, but washes his motorcycle at a residence on Tanglewood, which he doesn't live at. His was the only motorcycle there.
Okay. And on Bike Week, it's not uncommon for the residents of Daytona and the surrounding communities to have friends in from out of town, bring their bikes in on trailers, and have barbecues and revelry at their houses, is it not?
Not to the extent of 500-plus motorcycles, no, sir. All wearing outlaws attire.
So these photos were taken during Bike Week, right?
Yes, sir.
One day of Bike Week.
On one day, yes, sir.
Now, had you ever paid any attention to this house prior to it being purchased by Mr. Eversbach to see the condition that it was in before he purchased it?
Objection of relevance.
I think it is relevant because he testified that they changed it from a different color. So he presumably knows what the previous color was.
Yes, about condition. He asked about condition, he asked for alcohol.
You can answer if he knows.
I don't have any particular knowledge of the residence. I do know, and I believe it was a green color before it was painted black and white.
And do you know if there were any code violations at that address prior to being purchased by Mr. Eversbach?
I don't have that.
Do you know if there's been any warnings issued by the code board since it's been purchased by Mr. Eversbach?
Not by the code board, but we did go by and we did instruct Hillbilly that the vegetation on, I believe it was North Street, was excessive. Less than 3 hours later, there were backhoes and there was heavy machinery cutting down all that vegetation.
And on another occasion, there was a decrepit shed in the backyard with a blue tarp on it. Were you involved in that?
That's correct. It was an unsafe structure.
And what was your advice to the person at the house?
I didn't offer any advice. It just had to be taken care of, and the shed was torn down several days later.
Okay. So in the past two occasions, they've been compliant, have they not?
If you're talking about code violations, yes.
And except for the photographs that you have that occurred on Bike Week, there's been no other large gatherings.
Bike Week, and I would venture to say that because of the phone calls that I've been getting from Mr. Boss Hillbilly, there's going to be a large-scale event during Biketoberfest. As a matter of fact, that's exactly why he's calling me, because he wants to talk about Biketoberfest.
And coordinating parking so that there aren't any problems, correct?
Among other things, yes.
I have nothing further.
The person you identified as Hillbilly, is this picking me up adequately? Okay. The person you identified as Hillbilly, is he a known member of the Outlaws?
Yes, he is.
Okay. And as you testified before that, from your perspective, he had apparent authority to speak on your behalf?
Yes. As a matter of fact, every phone message that he leaves me, it's, Steve, this is Hillbilly from the Outlaws. Please call me.
Okay. Attorney Robertson just made the point that there aren't signs on the house, which is consistent with the past or at least the prior house. But is the color itself a sign, or from your testimony it seems that you were saying that?
Yes. The Outlaws refer to black and white, which is the color of the house. Here again, I believe it was about 18 months ago, the clubhouse on South Street was shot up with a high-powered rifle because of the identification out in front of the residents. Bike gangs, biker clubs, historically, are violent against each other. That's the reason why the fortification takes place. By having a nondescript residence, an unmarked car, if you will, they can go undetected.
Okay. Do you have any knowledge of the typical outlaw government outline? I mean, how are they governed?
I object to ask and answer.
As
it pertains to Hillbilly, I asked him that. He said he didn't know.
It sounds like, though, Mr. Robinson, Mr.
Mr. Yates, I would sustain the objection. We're going to hear that information.
But
I don't know. Let me ask the question again. I'm not sure.
In a different way.
Yeah, because I'm not sure whatever he's referring to. I don't recall this being something to ask before. Do you have knowledge of the structure of government in general of outlaw organizations from your training and experience?
Yes, sir, I have.
Outlaw organizations, or specifically the Outlaw Motorcycle Club?
Well, I'll stand corrected, specifically the Outlaw Motorcycle Club.
Yes, I have. The Outlaws in Daytona have a hierarchy. It's very well known to me, the local hierarchy. I can give you one specific example. When their clubhouse was on Beach Street, they occupied the parking lot, which is behind Tanglewood and across the street from Beach Street, with motorcycles. They were camping. I sent a code enforcement officer out there, and they told him to get off the property. He, in turn, came back to me. I went to the residence. I went to the parking lot, and I asked a probationary outlaw who was working on a van, find me somebody in charge. At that time, Robert Smith, Smitty, came out. Smitty was the local leader of the Outlaws. It was portrayed, it was evident, it was shown by his authority that he had for the local chapter to take care of a problem. This is the same activity that Mr. Boss Hillbilly has. He has portrayed that authority that if there's a problem, and it works both ways. The conversation that I have had with him in the past, if one of my officers does something that's not ethical, that's against our rules, against an outlaw member, I would expect him to find out and tell me. Just like he told me, if one of his members, one of his outlaws, acts up, he'll take care of the problem. So there is no question in my mind that he is a leader in the organization.
Don't have any other questions.
With regard to that topic, you don't know how these leaders, so to speak, attain that position, do you? They get appointed, don't they? Or do you presume, or do you have any knowledge?
No, I have no knowledge except for the fact of the conversation that I've had with outlaw members. I have never seen any rule book, any bylaws, anything like that, no.
So if the statute provides that governed by an elected body comprised from its members, you have no knowledge of whether they have elections, like, or how the heck they get to be where they are?
I would be willing and open to take any type of information that the outlaws would provide me to show that. But no, I don't have it.
Nothing further. Oh, one further thing, excuse me. The individual that shot up the house on South Street was a boy by the name of Matt Lane, was he not?
Yes, sir, I believe so.
And he had no affiliation with any gang, did he?
I can't be sure. I know that his girlfriend might have been involved with one of the gang members, and I'm not sure. I can't say for sure.
And that was his beef, that he thought somebody...
I object to relevance.
It brought it up.
Well, yeah, I think he answered it. He wasn't sure.
Okay. Yes. Sustain.
Nothing further from Deputy Chief Beard.
I was going to ask, Tony, do you want to bring John up?
Yeah, we'll call John since then.
I believe it's been established, but since I wasn't here at the prior proceeding, and hopefully it's picking up because it's becoming kind of awkward for me. But I believe it was established that Mr. Stetson is the code inspector, or I'll establish that again, inspector for the city of Daytona Beach?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and you had knowledge of a violation at Tanglewood? What's that address?
605 Tanglewood.
605 Tanglewood?
Yes.
And your knowledge is?
That the property is being utilized in a non-conforming manner.
Okay, and you did research to make those types of determinations?
I have had verbal contact with the city zoning official. I've also pulled the record from the city zoning grid that shows that the property is listed as R1A residential.
Were you able to enter inside the residence?
No, I was not.
Did you seek the opportunity to enter?
There was no one available even to allow me.
Okay, was it necessary for you to enter to see how it was being used?
No. I did make my determination from the outside and the activity on the outside.
Okay, and those activities were activities that were consistent based upon your research, Deputy, the people you spoke to, the observations you made to determine that it was not being used in conformity with the zoning.
Correct.
Were you ever able to determine who resides there?
No, I was not.
How many times did you go to the residence? Or
approximately on this particular violation, I would have to say 10 to 15 times. It's on my normal area of responsibility.
Did you check rental occupancy license to determine whether the property is a rental?
Yes, I did.
Did you find anything that gave you that determination?
Not for the current owner. The prior owner did have an occupational license for rental property, but he has since sold the property, and that license has been closed.
How much time would it take for an organization to come into compliance by moving the club?
As soon as they stopped a non-conforming use, I would say a week.
I don't have any other questions.
Mr. Stinson, I'm Dave Robinson. Do you have a record of the dates that you went by some 10 to 15 times?
Yes, I do. They don't all reflect. My record doesn't reflect every time I was there, but I do have a case detail on when I did conduct my reinspections, yes.
When was the last time you went there before today?
Before today, actually, I was there yesterday.
Okay, and were your motorcycles parked there as depicted in these photographs?
Not as depicted in the photograph.
Okay, and when was the time prior to that you went there?
Like I said, I frequent the area quite often, and I would have to say that I'm there at least three times a week.
Okay, do you mean by there, did you drive by it? Or do you stop and get out and go to the door?
If something catches my eye that's out of the ordinary, I will stop. I generally do sweeps in that area, the Tanglewood, North Street.
This residence is in compliance, is it not, with the things you've asked them to do? For example, take down the shed, trim the hedges?
They did address the violation of overgrowth, and they did remove the dilapidated shed.
And from the public records, specifically the tax assessor's record, are you able to get a floor plan of the home?
No, I have not.
Are they available on the tax assessor's website?
I don't know the answer to that question.
This is primarily designed as a single-family residence, is it not?
That's correct.
Okay. And again, there are no signs on the outside of the building depicting it as other than a single-family residence, are there?
That's correct.
And painting a house black and white is not in violation of any of the code that I'm aware of, is it?
Not in that particular area, no.
When was the first time you saw Mr. Ebersbach?
I personally have not had any verbal contact with Mr. Ebersbach.
So if he were there over the past year and a half, you would not be aware of that, is that correct?
That's correct.
I have nothing. And of the 10 or 15 times you visited it or went by it, how many times were these? Did it look like these pictures with the motorcycles out front? This number of motorcycles?
This number of motorcycles? I would say 25 to 30%.
Okay. And would that have been on Bike Week or the events?
During the events, there are definitely more motorcycles than when an event's not going on.
To your knowledge, is there any violation if an individual in Daytona Beach has friends coming from out of town and have barbecues with them or park their motorcycles at his house or have a gathering?
Typically, it's not a violation. It generally is governed by the size.
And is there any specific number of guests you can have at your house if you're a homeowner?
Not that I'm aware of.
And is there any particular code provision that prohibits association with Republicans or Democrats or Christians or Jews or outlaws or Christian bikers?
Not that I'm aware of.
Just one question. I'd ask you, Inspector Stinson, to turn around and take a look at Mr. Ebersbach.
I can't do that because I don't know what he visually looks like.
Okay, and based upon just previous indication, I believe it's the gentleman behind you.
Okay.
Okay, looking at that gentleman, if you saw him at the property, would you recall that?
Honestly, I couldn't say that I would recognize him, single him out from the rest of the occupants there.
Okay. To your knowledge, do you have any knowledge that tells you whether or not he's ever been at the property?
I have no knowledge of that.
Okay. I don't have any other questions. So,
do you have any more witnesses or do you rest?
No, it's good to be good. I would rest.
Are you introducing any of the information and the pictures coming into the record or?
Yes, those pictures.
Well, we need to know who took them and what they've done, and we need to have some testimony where they were. Who took them and what they've done in the course of business, and who took the pictures?
I took them.
And do they accurately represent what you saw at that site?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Any objections to that?
State when they were taken.
Yeah. Most of the pictures are dated. Top left corner. That one right there is 3610. 3610.
What does it have to be? Well, let's go through
3610.
And try to identify him if you're going to introduce him. Where was this vantage point?
All of these pictures show the property and
that's
the surrounding areas.
That's the surrounding area? Right?
And the surrounding areas. These pictures are showing camping as a result of the numbers at that location. That's the property across the street to the west. To the west. Directly in front of the property from the mobile command center.
And that's taken on 3410.
Correct.
Where is this?
This is actually at 153 Taylor, which is where Tanglewood dead ends. It's less than a block away from 605 Tanglewood.
So we don't know who that was.
Actually, we do, because when we had them move their motorcycles from 605, they moved them over to 153 Taylor, and I cited that property owner for such.
Nothing further.
I'd like to open the question up to members of the board.
it may be a little late, but could you read me exactly what the zoning is in that neighborhood as it's the ordinance, exactly the definition, so I know exactly what nonconforming means.
Is your mic on?
Yes, it should be on. Okay,
thank you.
As of this morning, this property is zoned general plan residence, 3-bedroom, 2-bathroom, 1-story. The zoning code is R2A, which is residential.
And that simply means everything in that neighborhood has to be a resident or a rental.
Correct.
With
operated as a single
no
family.
More than two non-related people. That's what's allowed, and that only.
If it's being used as a rental property, it is no more than two unrelated persons allowed.
Okay. What about things like porta potties? Where do porta potties come in the zoning there? That indicates that's an event, or the plumbing doesn't work, which would be another violation.
Correct. It's not a violation to have the porta potty on the property as a temporary issue, but I drew the same conclusion with multiple porta potties on the property and the fact that there is a current utility account would indicate to me that the volume of use of the facilities is requiring these porta potties.
Okay. What about camping? Is camping allowed in that?
No, it's not. No, it's not.
Camping is not allowed. Parking of any kind of vehicle along the roadway, is there any? There's no sidewalk there, from what I gather.
There is no sidewalk, but the city does have a parking ordinance. No parking on an unimproved surface. And as you can tell by the pictures, there were very few vehicles parked on an improved surface.
Okay. At any time, did anyone ever ask for a permit for an event?
No, sir.
No permits have ever been issued?
No application, no issuance.
All right. Those are what the questions I have.
I have a brief question, Mr. Stinson. Based on the violation that you provided, a nonconforming use, and with the pictures, we can see that they are parked on an unimproved surface. Is that part of the nonconforming use, or was that a different violation, parking on an unimproved surface?
Actually, we chose to make verbal contact with the parties there about parking on an unimproved surface.
Was that in an effort to allow them to eradicate the parking on a unimproved surface before you issued a violation?
Correct.
Another question also. The record shows that you first notified the respondent of the code violation on July 14, 2010. Prior to that time, and possibly since that time, prior to that time, that date of July 14, 2010, what actually drew your attention to the property and made you maybe cite it for nonconforming use prior to July 14?
In the addition of me frequenting the area, because it's my operation, my responsibility, I go to various neighborhood watch meetings, and at every meeting in that particular area, the citizens expressed concern.
Can you give us an idea as to what type of concerns they expressed?
Object hearsay.
It's not sustained.
Well,
I think the question probably is what citizens have said. You can have hearsay testimony is allowed at the code enforcement hearings.
Mm-hmm. That's okay. Numerous members have approached me personally at that particular group and asked me about what can be done about the congregation there at that location.
Do they specifically state about members of the Outlaws Motorcycle Club? Or
yes, they did.
Can you give us more information? My question again was, what activities did you notice that triggered your viewing of, or I guess, what made you actually want to look at the property further and maybe issue violations beyond the fact that you spoke to persons who attended community meetings in that particular area?
Okay.
Was there anything else?
Aside from the community meetings and what I physically saw at the property, numerous complaints about motorcycles, drag racing, or loud noise, loud pipes within that area, mostly centrally located at that location. Okay. I have complaints from North Street, Tanglewood, and all surrounding areas, all the way from Arlington to Mason.
The pictures that Chief Deputy Beers presented were dated March 6th, March 4th, 2010. But your violation is dated first notification was July 14th, which in my mind says that you noticed some type of violation after Bike Week, the period of possibly Bike Week for 2010. And that's why I'm asking what triggered your interest in the property and your issuance of a violation of the code enforcement.
Okay. I think it's necessary to give you a little background. Prior to me opening this case against Martin Eppersbach, the property was owned by Dayton Payton. He was originally cited. During the course of that citation, in the time frames for compliance, he sold the property to Mr. Eppersbach. Therefore, we had to withdraw the violation from Dayton Payton and then cite Mr. Eppersbach.
And just for the record, what type of violation did the previous owner have in reference to the Land Development Code for the City of Daytona Beach?
The previous owner had various violations of outside storage of junk and debris, overgrown property, peeling paint.
And did you actually cite the previous owner?
Yes, I did.
Violations?
Yes, I did.
Was the previous owner cited for non-conforming use?
No, sir.
Mr. Boyens, do you have any questions? Comments?
Is the respondent going to testify?
Yes.
I'd like to hold off for the moment.
Mr. Smart?
Deputy Chief Barris, you said that the water bill is in someone else's name other than the owner's?
Yes, the water bill is in the name of Stephen Kent, which is an
electric bill.
Which is an outlaw by the name of Road Rash.
Electric bill?
I don't have that information. I don't know if Investigator Stenson has the electric bill.
No, I do not have the electric bill, just the utility bill.
Telephone bill?
No, sir.
Mr. Stenson, I have another question for you, and I'll probably ask the same question, if I may, of Chief Deputy Beers, but I'd like to ask you first. On a daily basis, or the number of times that you said you've driven by the property, or you've actually tried to actually enter the property, or you've actually maybe witnessed activity around the property, on the property, on a daily basis, how many times would you say you witness individuals who may be sleeping there or on the property at any given time that you've actually been there to see activity?
I'm unable to tell you if someone is sleeping inside. I've never been allowed access.
Or gathering. Who's gathering?
The only gathering that I can testify to is the number of vehicles there, number of motorcycles.
Has there ever been an occasion where you've had the opportunity to go by the property, maybe at night?
During the events, the police department had regular patrols in a particular area, along with the command center park right across the street.
This may be a question more so than for Chief Deputy Beers, but if you can respond as best you can, if you have noticed that there are multiple motorcycles and or other vehicles parked on the property or near the property, and there are individuals at any given time that gives the appearance that multiple people have stayed overnight or occupied the dwelling overnight, would you say that, okay, you've witnessed multiple vehicles in the evening or the nighttime and notice maybe a similar amount of vehicles that occupied the property the next morning? Has there been an occasion when you witnessed something like that?
On every occasion that I've been by the property, which is generally in the morning, during the daytime hours, there have been a multitude of different vehicles there, and very few of them, if any, after the plates are run on the vehicles, come back to that property.
And again, would you qualify that with a date, possibly a time?
The latest was actually yesterday. There was a trike parked out front. It was not registered to that property.
And the time?
Approximately 8 a.m.
Okay. Chief Deputy Beers, would you answer the same question?
Unfortunately, I don't have the dates and times, but on a regular basis since around June. And if I may, I'd like to preface. You asked Investigator Stenson why it took July. Back in June, there was a sealed indictment by the FBI. National President and other leaders of the outlaws were charged with racketeering, attempted murder, and other violent crimes. As Deputy Chief of Operations, my responsibility is the safety of the community. If I have a clubhouse in the middle of a residential community by members of the outlaws who have just been recently indicted for those violent crimes, I have a responsibility to those residents. That's why we pushed forward. On a regular basis, I drive by the clubhouse. And at those inspections, I found various vehicles that are registered to outlaws from Daytona. Panhead, I can give you the real names, or I can give you their street names. So I mean, I have their names, and I've witnessed their vehicles at the residence.
And how many vehicles would you say on average would be parked at or near?
It ranges from one motorcycle to five motorcycles in a driveway to three or four vehicles out in front of the residence. They're on both sides of the street sometimes. Sometimes the resident is, or the it's just unoccupied. There's one consistent vehicle, which comes back to a female in Palm Coast. It's always there. So, I mean, it varies.
And just for clarification, from your activity that you've engaged in involving the property, have you found that some of those vehicles are parked in front of or at the property overnight, meaning that you witnessed them at night, and then maybe the next morning or the next day those same vehicles are there?
Yes, there was a funeral up north that the outlaws attended. By one of their members passed away. There was an outlaw from Fort Lauderdale's motorcycle there. Hillbilly's motorcycle has been there overnight. So, yes, they have been there overnight, not just random throughout the day.
And you also mentioned that you had a command post situated at the property. How long did you actually have the command post situated in front of or near the property?
We had the command post just to the south of the property the entire time during bike week. Once again, residential safety was number one. We wanted to make sure that we had a presence there. And I'll be honest with you, not only for the residents, but for the outlaws. We don't know who's coming into town. We don't know if there's any threats that they've encountered. We don't know. Motorcycle clubs, motorcycle gangs, historically are violent. They're violent against each other because of territories.
So basically you're saying you did have your command post in front or near the dwelling for 10 days?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Is there any record of any arrests in front of the property or at the property?
To my knowledge, we made no arrests in front of the property, no.
And before I let you go, Chief Deputy Beers, you mentioned that several different locations for the Outlaws Motorcycle Club. How many properties do they actually have and possibly use as motorcycle clubs in the city, within the city limits of Daytona Beach currently?
That is the only location for the Outlaws Motorcycle Clubhouse on Tanglewood.
Okay. Thank you. Does any other member of the board have questions or comments for Chief Deputy Beers?
Not at this time. I have a question for Mr. Stenson. Mr. Stenson, they've been cited for non-conforming use.
Yes.
What would be the process in order for them to use this property for the usage that they use it for?
They can't, not in that location. At that property, it cannot be utilized as a clubhouse. It's not zoned for it.
For parties, of large parties, could it be used for large parties?
To my knowledge, I don't see why not.
In the process to have a large party at your home, you need to do what?
Well, define large party.
More than 50 people.
They would probably have to apply for a TPA permit, temporary outside activity, from the city, and obtain that permit, then you can have a party.
Has there been a history of any TPAs applied for this property, whether we go back to the dates in question or the date where the property was posted?
No.
Okay. Thank you.
Are there any other questions or comments by members of the board? Mr. Jackson, did you have anything?
Well, you mean any other witnesses want to be important in relationship to the questions that were asked? No, not at this time.
Mr. Robinson.
This is Mr. Stinson. You indicated there was camping on the property. In fact, there was camping in another lot down the street, right? There was not actually, the tents that are depicted in these photos weren't on 605 Tanglewood, were they?
That's correct.
Okay. So the camping you were referring to was this camping on a lot down the street?
On the surrounding properties.
Okay. And to get a TPA, there's no provision in the code that says if you have X amount of people, you have to get a TPA, is there?
I wouldn't be able to answer that question. Permits and licensing could.
You were kind of vague on that. You didn't know what the definition of a large party was. And so as far as you know, that it isn't necessary to get a TPA.
If the event appears to be excessive and large as to more than 50 people, the city would at least inquire about having a TPA.
You also indicated that Dayton Payton was the former owner, and you'd cited him for a number of violations for the house being unkempt. Is that correct?
Correct.
Landscaping, paint, things like that?
Various violations.
So the house needed to be painted, is that correct?
There was a lot of work needed to be done on the house.
And that was done almost immediately after Mr. Eberspach purchased it, was it not?
Actually, I was contacted by the former owner, Dayton Payton, even after he sold the property, and he facilitated with the current owner.
Yeah. And the person, and this is to Deputy Chief Beers, the person you refer to as Panhead, whose motorcycle is there quite often, his name is Richard Graham, is it not?
Yes, I've never seen his motorcycle there. I just know that his residence on his driver's license is 605 Tanglewood, but I have never seen his motorcycle there.
If I can ask, if you're through, I'm sorry.
To finish his course of presentation.
And also, Deputy Chief Beers, when the parking in developed piece of dirt, like we see here parked on the dirt, was addressed, did Chief Chit would come by and discuss it with the individuals there?
That I can't answer.
Okay. Did you go by and discuss it with anyone there?
No. I believe my direction was to Inspector Stenson to take care of the problem.
Okay. And the motorcycles were in fact moved, were they not?
I believe they were, yes, sir.
And now they're trying to find a place to park them. And down on Beach Street, it's legal to park, which is only a block further, right?
That's correct.
Designated parking. And this individual you refer to as Hillbilly has tried to call you at least 8 times to arrange for a suitable parking area, has he not?
That's correct.
And have you attempted to work with him in that regard?
We have a mutual agreement, yes, sir.
For motorcycles to park somewhere?
Just for the parking itself, and that has nothing to do with the location of the clubhouse.
And the people you were talking about were indicted were from some people up north, nobody to do with the outlaws in this neighborhood?
Well, if you consider Milwaukee Jack, who was the national president, which came down to Daytona Beach, and I have knowledge of that,
And
as a matter of fact, Milwaukee Jack has a Florida ID card out of Fort Lauderdale. So he did frequent the area.
And the Daytona Police Department pulls these guys over as frequently as they observe a traffic infraction, do they not?
Daytona Beach during Bike Week is very aggressive with traffic enforcement, whether you're an Outlaw Motorcycle Club member, whether you're the Hells Angels, whether you're a Blue Knight, whether you're the average citizen. If you violate the law and you get that violation observed by a police officer, you're going to get stopped.
And with your position and command position with the Daytona Police Department, it's true, isn't it, that anybody belonging to the Outlaws that got stopped in the past year or so has had a valid license, no dope on them, no unregistered guns?
That's Mr. Relevance.
I mean, you're trying to disparage the club by suggesting that they've done something that would justify a federal indictment and imply...
You opened the door, so he had the right to ask that question.
That's fine.
When they're down here, they behave pretty well, don't they?
For the most part, yes, sir.
Thank you. Nothing further.
I have a question of Deputy Chief Bears. First, related to Panhead, do you know his motorcycle when you see it?
No, I don't.
Okay. But you haven't seen anything that will tell you that he's been at the property?
That's correct.
Okay. When did you first... Let me clarify something, or at least ask you to clarify. The notice of violation says that the first notice, the date of notification, was July 14th. But was there contact or observations made of the property? Obviously, from the photos, they were made much earlier than that.
Yes.
Okay, and how long has this property been observed?
After they left the clubhouse on South Street, there was a lull of activity, if you will, in Daytona Beach. At that time, the neighbors contacted us and said that the Outlaws were moving into a house on Tanglewood. It was at that time that we observed the work being done, the motorcycles showing up, and actually the members themselves out in the front yard and around the property.
Okay, now we're not talking about structural violations, talk about use violations. For this use violation, what observations did you, well, let me ask it differently. For the use violations, did you make observations after this July date of notification that told you that this was still being used as a clubhouse from based on your training and experience?
Yes.
Okay. And tell us some of those observations.
The members out in front of the clubhouse, the vehicles out in front, the fact that Hillbilly continues to call me to work on the parking situation at the clubhouse.
And is there... I don't have anything else.
Mr. Robinson.
Okay.
I just have one question for Chief Deputy Beers. Earlier, you mentioned that there you had, I guess, reviewed the website for the Outlaws Motorcycle Club. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Did they indicate on their website that they had a clubhouse at 605 Tanglewood Street?
No. Historically, they won't. Any club member won't divulge that type of information on a clubhouse.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
Sounds like the state rest.
Yes, I previously rest, and yes, I'll rest again.
Yeah,
sure. Five-minute break. We'll resume at 10:29. Mr. Robinson.
Thank you. For the city having rested, could we, I think we've seen the pictures enough, could we take them off the screen?
You have any objection, Mr. Jackson?
It's always just been what we do during a hearing that have the pictures up. It's up. That's me.
As the first witness, I'd like to call Susie Whitford. She's not previously been sworn, so if she could come forward and take the podium and be sworn.
Do you
swear that the testimony you're about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, ma'am.
Can you state your name, please? Can you switch to the microphone?
Lillian Suzanne Whitford.
And your address?
611 Tanglewood Street.
Where is that relative to the property at issue here today?
The house north of them, right next door.
Okay, how long have you lived in that house?
54 years.
Do you know who built the house that's in question here today, 605 Tanglewood?
Yes, I do.
And who was that?
That was my uncle and my brother.
And what color was it when they built it?
White and black.
Same as it is today?
Exactly.
Okay. And have you ever been to any of the neighborhood watch meetings?
Yes, I have.
And how often in the past year, since October of last year when Mr. Ebersbach bought this property, how many times have you been to a neighborhood watch meeting?
Three of them.
Okay, you know.
Sorry, could you speak into the microphone, please?
And have you heard complaints from the neighborhood residents relative to the activities at 605?
No.
Have you heard any kudos from the neighbors of the Mr. Everbach's house?
Yes.
And what is the consensus?
There's a lot more kudos, and I haven't heard any complaints.
Okay. And do you have any complaints?
No.
Do you feel more secure at your house?
Yes.
And do you have video cameras at your house?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I've had them for about 5 years, 6 years.
And when your uncle and brother were building that house, were you ever inside of it?
Yes.
Okay, and is it a single family residence?
Yes, it is.
And does the gathering that occurs on Bike Week of last year, did that bother you in any way?
No.
Have you seen any criminal activity outside the 605 Tanglewood since Mr. Ebersbach purchased it?
No.
Prior to him purchasing it, did you ever observe criminal activity going on outside and in that vicinity of 605?
All the time.
And can you describe what kind of criminal activity that was?
Drug deals going right in front of my house, prostitutes being picked up or let off.
And were the police there on occasion?
Yes.
Okay. And that activity has ceased since Mr. Ebersbach bought the property?
Yes.
And have you had an opportunity to speak with anyone else in the vicinity of 605 Tanglewood?
Yes.
And who would that be?
Jean Marquette.
And where does she live relative to you and relative to 605?
Right straight across from me. And
how old is Miss Marquette?
84 years old.
And what is her opinion of the what did she tell you relative to 605 Tanglewood since Mr. Ebersbach purchased it?
She feels a whole lot safer.
Thank you. Nothing further. Tend to the witness.
All of you, stay here, Mr. Jackson.
I'm trying to find a way I can get to this mic, Ms. Whitford. Ma'am, you say you live right next door?
Yes, sir.
And you've lived there for?
Since I was born. I came home from Halifax Hospital there.
Okay. And who resides at that house?
At my house?
No, at the Tanglewood house, 605 Tanglewood.
Panhead.
And who's Panhead? Do you know his name?
Rick.
Okay. Anyone else reside there?
Not permanently.
What do you mean by that?
I mean, people's in and out. I mean, he has got company.
Okay, and what do you mean when you say he has company?
Oh, just like I have company at my house all the time. I'm sure you do, too. I mean,
you mean he has bikers that come?
Yeah.
Okay, and do they have outlaw jackets?
Outlaw, Christian.
Okay.
A lot of Christian bikers stop by and see him.
Okay, and do they have activities there when they're at the house?
Excuse me, Mr. Jackson. Ms. Whitford, if you would you speak directly?
I'm sorry.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
I'll make it easier for them, and I'll go over here to this one. I think they pick me up over here as well. Don't you pick me up pretty good?
Yes.
Okay. In fact, I'll make sure I speak louder as well.
and try and make it easier for everyone. You have cookouts.
Yep.
Okay, and, you know, there's a lot of talk about the big event, and I guess you were there for the big event, which would be the bakery events.
Right.
Do you have any other events at the house?
Maybe a birthday party or something.
You mean with a large number of people at the house?
Probably 20, 25.
Okay, and have you been inside the house?
Not in the last 10 or 11 months, I haven't. Before I had.
Do you know Steve and Kent?
Does he have another name?
I don't know. Stephen Kent pays the water bill at that house. He's listed. He's listed as the person on the water bill. You don't know Stephen Kent?
No.
Okay. You haven't seen him living there then. You don't know him. Okay. Do you know Hillbilly?
I've seen Hillbilly. Yes.
Have you seen him living there?
No. Well, he's been there. I mean, he's not dead, but he's been there.
Okay. Do you know if he's a member of the Outlaws?
Yes.
Okay. You know what his affiliation is, the Outlaws?
No.
What his level membership?
No.
Okay. How did you know there was the Outlaw Club over next at that house?
How did I what?
Know that the Outlaw Club was there. I mean, present. The people there are members of the Outlaw.
You can see them.
Okay. I mean, do they tell you that? What do you mean you can see them?
You can see their jackets.
So, from the clothing that they wear?
Right.
It shows on their clothing that they're Outlaw members.
Right.
Okay.
Or any other, you know, motorcycle people that come in.
Okay, so when the motorcycle people come in, they have it on their jackets, and you've seen that.
Right.
Even since the bike week.
Right.
Okay, and do they stay overnight, people who come to the house?
No.
You haven't seen anyone stay overnight? Or haven't, let me ask that better for you. Do you have knowledge of whether people stay overnight at the house?
There's probably a couple. I usually go in back in my house around 3 or 4 in the morning. And okay. There's some that's still there, but whenever I get up, there's no the vehicles aren't there.
Okay, when you're out at 3 or 4 in the morning, and this isn't criticism, this question. When you're out at 3 or 4 in the morning, that's at the house?
At my house.
I mean at, you mean you go in from your home?
Yeah,
3 or 4
I've got
in the morning.
A deck that I usually sit on.
Okay. Is that just observing the activities or...
Well, I can't sleep, and I just go out there and sit.
Oh, as a normal standard
right,
oh, process for you. Okay. And when you go in, sometimes people who are there may still be there?
Yeah.
Okay.
But if you would, just speak into the mic when you speak.
Okay.
Thank you.
I don't have any other questions.
Rose.
Ma'am, when you sit on your deck in the early morning hours, is it because there's a disturbance next door or just because... You can't sleep.
I can't sleep. I work midnights with the police department for 20 years, and once you do that, you don't sleep at night.
Okay. And you haven't heard any disturbances coming from next door, have you?
No.
Okay. And you indicate that You've lived there since he bought it in October of last year, and can you describe for the panel the change of the landscaping and the condition of the house since Mr. Ebersbach has purchased it?
It's 100% better.
Can you be any more specific with details than that?
Well, the yard's cleaned up. It's got a new paint job, a good paint job.
Is there was there debris and toys
yes.
and junk in the
yes,
yard?
Yes, there's... It was a mess.
And it's better now, then, is that correct?
Correct.
Nothing further. And is this road, I mean, is this Panhead the man you're talking about?
Yes, sir.
That lives there or stays there?
Yes, sir.
Nothing further.
Something. Ms. Whitford, you're no longer with the Daytona Beach Police Department, right?
No.
Okay, and how long has it been since you've been with the department?
Since 2002.
Okay, since 2002. And you do admit that there are some people who are not happy with the outlaw motorcycle group being there.
There's
at
one
house.
Guy, he's, I guess paranoid, schizophrenia, or whatever you call him. He hides in the bushes. He hides behind trees. And his girlfriend's kicked him out. Now he's back, so I'm sure it's going to be all...
So your testimony is no one else in the neighborhood is...
Nobody.
All right. I don't have any other questions.
Can I ask?
Mr. Robinson?
Nothing further. I have a couple of questions of you, Ms. Whitford. First, what was your capacity with the City of Daytona Beach Police Department? In what capacity did you work with them?
What was that, sir?
In what capacity were you employed with the Daytona?
I was a part-time police officer from 1980 to 2002.
Okay. And the other question slipped my mind, so that's good. Thank you.
Next witness.
Is that it? Next witness,
Mr. Robbins. I'd like to call Richard Graham. Can I stay here and question?
Sure.
Raise your hand, please.
Yes.
Please state your name.
Richard Graham.
And where do you reside, Mr. Graham?
605 Tanglewood.
And what is your position as a resident there?
I just take care of the place, make sure grass is cut and, you know, trash and, you know, nothing happens.
Okay.
Stuff like that.
And do you know Mr. Martin Ebersbach?
Yes.
And is there an agreement between you and he relative to your duties there?
Yes.
And what is that?
Yeah, that would take care of the place for
you
him.
You stay there?
Yeah, I stay there.
Okay, you're also known as Panhead?
Yes.
And you're the individual that Susie was referring to?
Yes.
Okay. Have any of the residents of the neighborhood complained to you that they're fearful of you?
No, they haven't.
You're a member of the Outlaws Motorcycle Club, right?
Yes.
Okay. And is the primary purpose of that house as a single-family residence?
Yes.
And has it got bedrooms in it?
Yes.
And bathrooms? Okay. And do people other than you live there for any extended periods of time?
No.
And do you ever have friends of yours come over and barbecue with you or have some beers with you or watch TV with you?
Yes, I do.
And is that frequently?
Pretty frequently. I got a lot of friends.
Okay. And are they members of a single club, specifically the American Outlaw Association?
Not specifically.
Okay, you have members of other clubs? And
sometimes other clubs, just people who ride motorcycles that I know would stop by.
Okay. And does anybody dictate to you how you do your job there?
No.
You just take care of the place?
Right.
And when there are gatherings over there on Bike Week, as depicted in these photographs, did anybody tell you what to do and how to do it, or did just a bunch of people come over and the barbecue was
happening? No, just a bunch of people come over.
And food was brought in?
Right.
Okay. How many toilets are there in the house?
Excuse me?
How many toilets are there in the house?
Two.
Okay. And are the portalettes brought in so that other people can urinate or whatever they have to do in a sanitary facility?
Yes.
And aside from the photographs here, which were taken March 6th and 4th of this year, are there gatherings like that every weekend of the year?
No, not every weekend. I mean, every now and then, like a holiday or something. There's like a little party. You know.
Okay. How many people come over?
I don't know, 50 to 100. Couldn't give you exact figures. So.
Okay. Do you pay any rent at that residence?
No.
Okay. Do you help with the power bill? Or any of the bills there, water bill or power bill?
No. I don't. I'm on disability, so I have limited funds.
Okay. Does Mr. Ebersbach pay those bills, to your knowledge?
Well, he comes up once a month. I mean, when I see him once a month, you know, and he gives me the money to have the bills paid. And the other person that was referred to as Road Rash, he was a caretaker, but no longer. That's why the bills are in his name.
You just never bothered to transfer it over?
Right.
I have nothing further. Attend to the witness.
Mr. Jackson?
I guess I'll start here. Who's Road? I'm sorry.
Well, Stephen Kent.
Oh, Stephen Kent. That's Road.
Yeah, that referred to as Road Rash.
Road Rash. Oh, okay. What's your affiliation with the Outlaws? I mean, is there some hierarchy? Do you have a special hierarchy in the place?
No.
Okay. Ms. Robinson said that you stay there, and I guess I left them thought that it's only sometimes. Is that where you live?
Yeah, I live there. I mean, I'm not there constantly, but I mean, I live there.
Does anyone else reside there?
No.
And how long have you lived there?
About a year, I think.
Who is Hillbilly?
He's a member of the Outlaws.
Does he have a hierarchy in the Outlaws?
I couldn't tell you.
You're a member, right?
Right.
And you know him?
Yeah, I know him.
But you don't know if he has any position or hierarchy in the organization? Or really, you're saying he's just like everyone else? He doesn't have any hierarchy?
As far as I know.
Who is Cloudy?
He's a member.
Got a name?
His name's Michael, but I can't remember his last name at this moment.
What's Hillbilly's name?
That I do not know.
What's the phone number there at the residence?
257-0500.
Now, if I told you that Cloudy's using that phone number as a member of the Outlaws as the place to contact him, is that what would be normal?
Not to my knowledge. Like I said, that's the first I've seen his card. So
if I told you that was the number used as the number for the Outlaw clubhouse that was on Beach Street, would that surprise you?
No. That was the number on Beach Street.
Okay, so, but it's not the Outlaw's number now that you're on Tanglewood?
Well, it's not in the Outlaw's name anymore. I mean, we still kept that number, over at that house, but...
Okay.
Rather than keep putting deposits down.
Who set up the phone? Who set up the phone service?
I believe it's Johnny Trail.
He transferred it to this new address?
Right.
Okay. Is he an outlaw?
Yes.
Okay. You said that sometimes, that on occasions people stay with you now for an extended period of time. What's the time period that people stay with you?
I mean, I didn't say that somebody stayed with me. I said people come over.
Stay overnight.
Well, no, they don't stay overnight.
No one stays overnight at that house other than you?
Yeah.
You realize you said that they did when you was testifying for Mr. Robinson?
No, I thought I said that when they came over. I mean, people came over.
You mentioned you have lots of friends and you have events at the house.
Well, not events. I mean, it's just somebody's birthday, you know, have a party like normal people do, you know.
You know, something I noticed that the average water bill was, I believe the number was like 200 and, oh, that's not fair. Let me take a second look. I think it was like $145 or so. Is that because of the size of the group of people you have there at the house typically?
I know. Is that a lot for a water bill?
You said no one helps you with these parties? These are organized by you? They're your parties?
Oh, no. I mean, people come over and help. I mean, heck, Susie next door makes something for people to eat, you know.
What's your standard party group? I mean, size?
I don't know. Like I said before, I think like 50 to 100. I mean, it's...
You said you have limited funds. You don't work, right?
Right.
And
disabled.
Okay, but do you facilitate the 50 to 100 people at your home?
As to, well, no, it's a, people bring stuff, you know, take donations, get whatever you need.
You say you're staying there in exchange for taking care of the place?
Right.
And he allows you to stay there?
Yes.
Okay. Do you have any kind of contract or anything like that?
No.
There's been testimony, I think you've heard, that there's bikers that are there at the house washing their bikes and things like that. Is those types of activities going on at the house?
Not all, you know, just at the Bike Week and Bike Total Fest.
Traditionally with clubhouses, traditionally there's some aspect of fortification. Is there any type of fortification at your house?
Not to my knowledge. I mean,
typically there's cameras.
Just so like a regular house.
Okay. Now, you say not to your knowledge. You live there, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And when you say not to your knowledge, what do you mean?
Well, I don't know what was there before Mr. Ebersbach bought it, but if that's what you're implying.
Okay. But nothing's been done to the house or since it was purchased?
No.
Okay. Typically, there's some type of surveillance equipment or cameras or something like that. Do you have surveillance equipment at the house?
Yes.
Okay. What's the nature of the surveillance equipment that you have?
Just look at stuff going on outside. If there's anybody trying to, you know, break in the house or stuff like that.
You know any reason why Hillbilly would be contacting the deputy chief to try and make arrangements for your events, parking and so forth at the house?
Well, I would imagine when people come down, you know, for Bike Week that no, there wouldn't be no problems getting tickets where you park. Or
why would he do it at your house?
Because people come there, Bike Total Fest and Bike Week.
Well, what would Hillbilly have anything to do with that?
He's doing it. That's all I can tell you.
But you don't know who he is. I mean,
I know who he is. I mean, I.
But you don't know what any authority he would have to be speaking for those biker guys that's coming to your house, the outlaws.
Right.
Okay. Because particularly then we're talking about the outlaws, aren't we? On those special events, it's particularly the outlaws.
Other people come there too, Bike Week.
But primarily, the group is the outlaws.
Yes.
Okay. And at that time, it's a very large gathering.
Right.
Okay. And that gathering is all your gathering. That's your party.
Well, I'm there. I mean, I don't own the house. You know,
Mr. Graham, you said that's your party? I mean, you said these parties are your party.
No, I'm talking like birthday parties and stuff. You know, somebody wants to have a party and it's their birthday, you know.
Whose party is the large gatherings?
Excuse me?
Whose party is that when the large gatherings come to your house?
Well, mostly outlaws.
Okay.
They come and visit.
Who arranges that?
I don't know who arranges it.
Who it's being arranged for? Well, whose benefit?
I don't understand where you're going with
this. I mean, you said it's outlaws' party, so it's for the for the outlaws.
Well, yeah, it's for Bike Week, Bike Total Fest. That's why they're coming down here. That's why the big party at the house.
And you don't know who's setting it up or why it's being done at your house or any knowledge of it other than that you live there.
Well, the outlaws set it up. I mean, it's not me personally setting it up.
I don't have anything further.
Nothing further.
Question. Stay here.
Any members of the board have any questions?
If I understand it correctly,
Mr. Barnes,
for these events,
Mr. Barnes,
you say the outlaws set it up.
Is that correct?
Yes.
And they pretty well give you the instructions or what's going to happen and that sort of thing?
Yeah, more or less. Yeah, you're right.
Okay.
I have a question.
Mr. Harrington?
You are the caretaker.
Yes.
Do you have any specific instructions that if some visiting group shows up that you are obliged to hand them the house carte blanche? Is that how it works?
Oh, no.
So how do you know how to react when somebody shows up? I mean, here's 20 people have just showed up. You claim
like
you don't
20 people I don't know?
20 people you don't know, they just show up. What do you do with them?
I don't let them in.
You don't let them in.
If I don't know them, I mean...
So the ones that do show up, you know ahead of time they're going to show up.
No. If I know them, I mean, I got no problem.
Well,
if I don't know them, I will make a phone call and ask who they are.
Is there a schedule? Is there a presumption when somebody goes there that they have access to that property?
I don't quite understand that one.
Well, if let's say I know of a house, and there's a caretaker there, and I knock on the door, and he answers the door, and I just tell him, I'm a friend of Joe Blow's, let me in, we're going to have a party, because that's the way you're describing your function. You don't have any responsibility. You just turn the house over to them and else.
I'm there. I mean, people that come down, I know them.
But you don't...
Bike Week and Bike Total Fest.
You're not responsible for their hospitality. You're responsible...
I'm responsible to make sure that nothing happens at the house. Uh-huh.
So there is some kind of a structure in place for the use of that house by people who don't live there.
I get it, but I...
Well, I'll go through it again. I knock on your door.
Right.
I am a guest of X outlaw person. I'm here. We would like to use the house for a party.
Well, no, that to my knowledge, that's not going to happen.
Well, then
so, I mean,
then there
like
is.
I said, it's
if
it,
that
what happens
happen,
at that house really, I mean, isn't really up to me. It's up to Mr. Ebersbach. He owns it, but.
Well, does he call you and say, I booked a party?
Well, it's not booked a party per se. I mean, it just,
well, whatever
bike
words,
come, bike week's
whatever
coming
words
up and there's people
mince,
coming in town.
He's going to tell you that we want to use the house for a function.
Yeah.
So be prepared.
Right.
Okay, that's all I'm after. Okay, so there is a structure.
Aside from Bike Week and Biketoberfest, how often do you have your friends, 50 to 100, gather at the property?
It's, like I said, it all depends. If there's a holiday, you know, like 4th of July or something, everybody's having a party.
Once a month?
Or birthday, maybe once every 3 months, maybe.
Thank you.
Now, Mr. Graham, you testified under oath just a few minutes. Oh, sorry. Go ahead. Smart.
In response to Mr. Harrington's question regarding if people come that you don't know, you say you deny them entry, and then you said you call people.
Oh, it's me. I'll call Mr. Ebersbach.
Who do you call?
Mr. Ebersbach. That's who you call. I mean, it's his house.
That's it? He's the only individual you would call?
Right. I mean, I'm not there to make decisions, you know.
Thank you.
So once you make a call to him and he says it's okay for X, Y, and Z to come into the house, what authority do you have?
As to?
What they do in your house.
Oh, they better be respectful when they come in the house.
But are they free to do whatever they want to do?
Well, no. They come in like you have a guest in your home. You know, more or less the same deal.
Well, not really, because a guest in my home, I would allow them in. I don't have to get permission.
Well, if you didn't know them, you would.
To get permission?
You'd be like somebody you didn't know came to your house.
I would be the one to determine whether or not they came in the house. Nobody else would.
Well, I understand now. I mean, okay. It's a little bit different, but I mean, if it was my house, I'd be the same way.
Okay.
Mr. Graham, you have stated that persons who you are not aware of, you have no knowledge of, will come to the house, and Mr. Brown has asked about. And how long do these people typically, persons that you know and do not know personally, how long do they typically stay at the house?
During events or any time?
Pardon me?
Just during the event or any time?
Any time and during the events.
Well, it's, I don't know, some stay late.
Let's deal with just routinely when they show up.
Oh, it's they come and go.
Excluding the events, I'll address that.
Okay, well, there's no set limit to that. I mean,
give me an average. 2 hours, 5 hours,
yeah,
6 hours.
2-3 hours. Just hang out, BS, watch TV.
Okay. Do they typically remain there? They might show up, let's say, at night and maybe leave in the morning? I didn't say sleep. I'm just asking.
Yeah, I mean, that happens too.
Okay. What about during bike week events or biker events? What's the average stay for an individual or groups during those events?
I couldn't give you an exact figure. Like I said, some stay later than others. So
give me an average.
I don't know. A couple. Some of them come and stay all day and half the night, and some of them, I don't know, four or five hours.
I'm just asking for an average.
Like 4 or 5 hours. I never really paid any attention to that part. But
okay, let's say you just said that they come during the day and they stay half the night. That, to me, would exceed 4 hours. Would you agree?
Well, I'm just, like I said, some might stay 4 hours, some might stay longer.
Okay. Is there a large number of people who might stay most of the day and through the night?
A large what?
Is there a large number of people during special biker events who might stay?
Not the event.
Pardon?
You said not the event?
During the events.
Oh, during the event?
Well, yeah. Are there a large number of people who may be there for a period that exceeds maybe 8 hours?
Yeah.
Okay. Does anybody ever fall asleep in the home?
Well, on the couch and stuff.
Okay. Possibly overnight?
Yeah, maybe possibly, yeah.
Can you describe us the interior of the home?
Yeah, first walk in, got a big living room. Well, it's not real big, but living room, and then it goes back into a like a little kitchen and a dining room in the back with sliding glass doors. Go to the right, you got a bathroom on the left, master bedroom straight back, and two other bedrooms on the other side.
What's the square footage of the home?
That I do not know.
What about, is there a bar of any kind where you might be able to serve a large number of people in the home?
Well, I have one, there's one in the garage and one on the back porch.
How is that situated? Is it something that's portable? Is it something that's stationary?
Well, it'd be portable. I mean, you're just anchored in, but the anchors come right out real quick. But I don't
know. Do you have kegs that you can plug into that?
Excuse me?
Do you have kegs that can be...
No.
Plugged in, or how large is the garage? Is it a two-car garage or one-car garage?
Two-car garage.
Size two-car garage.
Two-car garage.
Two-car garage. Okay. So do you think that would accommodate? How many people do you think it would accommodate at one time?
In there, I don't know. Maybe 30.
Okay, comfortably.
Well, I don't know how comfortable, but I'm just trying to think how, you know, the size of the garage and people standing around.
You stated also on the oath that Ms. Whitfoot would bring food items, I believe you said, to the parties that you would have.
Well, not only the parties, she sees me a lot
of times.
She cooks out on her porch, invites us over, you know, me over, my girlfriend, or she'll come over and ask if we want anything to eat.
Has she ever been in the house at 605 Tanglewood Street? To your knowledge?
To my knowledge, I think she has, but...
Okay. You're saying this under oath that she has been within the perimeters of the house?
Yes.
Because she says she has never been in there?
Well, I'm just saying, to my knowledge, I think she was, but...
Okay. How many times? How many times? Over the last, I think she said she's...
Once.
Okay. All right. Okay. Thank you. Anybody else have any questions? Any member of the board? Thank you.
I'd like to call Mr. Martin Ebersbach.
I did have questions that would trigger based upon your questions, if I'm allowed to ask those.
Sure. Come on back up, Mr. Graham.
Excuse us for a few minutes, Mr. Ebersbach.
Lost it. Okay. Mr. Graham.
Microphone.
I'm sorry, you're right. Mr. Graham, the Outlaws, is that a club?
Excuse me?
The Outlaws. We've been saying the Outlaws. I mean, that's a motorcycle club?
Yes.
And you're, they have a local chapter?
Yes.
You're a member?
Yes.
Of the local chapter?
Yes.
Is Mr. Graham a member of the local chapter?
I am, Mr. Graham.
I'm sorry. Is Hillbilly a member of the local chapter?
No.
Is Mr. Kent a member of the local chapter?
Yes.
Mr. Ebersbach?
No.
Okay. When they come to the house, these friends... during that period that you were talking about, when you have to call and check with Mr. Ebersbach and so forth. And we were talking earlier, you said they were primarily outlaws. This was for the outlaws. It was an outlaw thing.
Right.
Do they have a meeting there at the house?
No.
You remember the chapter, right?
Right.
Do they have meetings?
No.
Outlaws don't have any meetings?
Not at the house.
Where do they have meetings?
All over the place.
So they...
No specific place.
So there's no place in Daytona where the Outlaws meet?
You mean as a house or stuff like that?
Anywhere.
Yeah, well,
as an organizational meeting. It's an organization, right? It's a club.
Yeah.
Okay, as an organizational meeting?
Get together and talk about things.
So, what do you mean?
You talk about it. That's what I mean. You talk about stuff.
Okay,
what's going on, or you know, who's doing what, or.
So where does the club meet?
What is what?
The club meet as a meeting place.
We meet everywhere.
Okay. Nowhere in Daytona Beach does it.
I'm just saying, no place specific.
Okay. But they meet everywhere, but they don't meet at your house, is what you're testifying.
Right.
Even though tons of club members are there, they're not meeting.
No.
So what do you classify as a meeting?
Excuse me?
What do you classify as a meeting? Well, you said they're not meeting at your house.
We don't have meetings at the house. We have them all over the place. You know?
Okay.
No place specific.
So what do you call a meeting of the organization?
Just a meeting.
I mean, what do they do?
We talk.
Okay.
Elect officers? We usually do like we're doing now in the meeting. We're talking, right?
Do they elect officers?
No.
Do they have someone that's in charge at the meeting?
We're all in charge.
Oh, okay. So y'all meet, everyone's in charge, and you're there as a club, an organization, right? And it's never at your house, but it's everywhere else in the city.
I don't know where you're going with this.
I mean, I'm just asking you questions.
I understand.
There's nowhere else in the city that you meet. I mean, well, I'm sorry, that's not what you said. You testified that you meet everywhere else in the city.
Yeah. Like we go, I don't know, say you go to a bar, say you go here, go there, and sit around.
You call those club meetings or organizational meetings?
I just call them get-togethers.
Okay, but what do you call when they come to your house?
We don't have meetings at the house.
Oh. They're not get-togethers?
We're just over there doing whatever. I mean, no meetings, no, you know.
We're just going to rest with each other. I don't have any other questions.
I'd like to call Mr. Martin Ebersbach. Please state your name. Has he been sworn?
Yes, I've been sworn. I'll do it again if you want me to.
No. I'll feel better.
You feel better? Okay, I'll do it. Okay, go ahead. Absolutely.
Please state your name.
Martin Ebersbach.
Mr. Ebersbach, how old are you?
63.
And where are you employed?
Right now I'm retired.
And prior to your retirement, where were you employed?
Walt Disney World.
For how long?
37 years.
And do you collect a pension from Walt Disney World?
Yes, I do.
Do you collect Social Security?
Yes, I do.
Back in October of last year, did you purchase the property?
Yes, I did.
Let me finish the question. 605 Tanglewood?
Yes, I did.
Are you afflicted with flu today?
I have bronchitis.
Okay. And what did you do when you purchased this property relative to making improvements on it?
Well, we cleaned up the yard. We cleaned up the bushes. We repainted it. Just did the general cleanup to make it look right and presentable.
What kind of house is it?
It's a single-story, single-house, dwelling house.
Okay, and do you know how many square feet it is?
I'm not good at that, but I would guess probably, as a guess, maybe 1,200.
Okay. And what was your purpose in purchasing this house?
Actually, I started my outlaw career in Daytona in 1999. I was here 3 years, and I was transferred back to Orlando, okay? And I always wanted to come back to Daytona because I liked it here in Daytona. So I wanted to buy a retirement home and an investment over here to have, so when I'm ready to move back to Daytona, I have a home available to come to. That's why I purchased it.
Do you have a lot of friends?
Well, I don't have a lot of friends. I've got a lot of brothers. I guess you can call them a lot of friends, yes.
Okay, and are they members of the Outlaw Motorcycle Club as well?
Yeah, I have friends that's not associated with the club, yes, not members of the club.
And you have members that are members of the club?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
Okay. And do you invite these friends to your home, your retirement home in Daytona during the events?
Absolutely. I tell you what, during Biketoberfest and during Bike Week, yes, I will invite all of my friends to my house for a gathering. Yes, I will.
Okay. And does Hillbilly or anybody else tell you to do that?
Absolutely not.
And
I don't
report
to Hillbilly.
If you said I don't want anybody at my house,
huh?
And if you told any of the other outlaws I don't want anybody coming to my
house. I told outlaws not to come to my house before.
Okay. And
just because you're an outlaw, don't come to my house.
Okay. And when you have the events, like in March and October, who runs the events?
I do.
Okay. And do you make arrangements for the portalettes?
Yes, I do. I make sure they happen, yes. I'm the one that takes care of getting everything ready and prepared.
And do you operate that party yourself?
Pretty much. Okay. I mean, I am pretty much the last say on what goes on there.
Okay.
And not Hillbilly. Beyond popular belief.
Okay, and do people chip in and bring covered dishes? And
All the women get together, and they identify what each and every one of them are going to bring, and they'll prepare it, and they'll bring it the day of the event. Yes.
And you cook it out back?
Yes, some of it we cook out back, some of it they bring in tins and covered dishes.
Okay. Now, the people that are there, you heard Mr. Graham indicate that they're there for 8, 12 hours. Do they come and go from that property when
they don't stay long, I will tell you, because it's so small. They will come and socialize with their brothers, and they'll go back to their hotel or motel or wherever they're staying at generally. I mean, they don't come here to see me. You know, they come here to see Daytona Beach and, you know, party like everybody else does during Bike Week. But hospitality-wise, I'm going to invite them to my house because they're my brethren.
Okay. And do they from time to time leave 6:05 and go back to their motel or go ride their motorcycle on the beach or go for a ride around the loop?
80-90% of the time.
And then they come back maybe a little bit later?
Yes.
And stay for a little while?
Yes.
So when Mr. Graham testified that they're there for 4 hours and then till 3 in the morning, is it sporadic that these people are...
They could come back at 3 in the morning.
What's that?
What I'm trying to say, they could come back at... I mean, they could leave at 8 or 9 in the afternoon and go for an excursion to Disney or somewhere else, and then they'd return at 3 or 4 in the morning.
Okay.
And have a Coke or, you know, a beer or something, you know.
They don't stay at your house overnight, do they?
No room.
And are there any other structures on the property?
No, not presently.
Okay. So it's a single-family house, 2 bathrooms, 3 bedrooms?
Yes.
And a 2-car garage?
Correct.
Is there a pool table in the garage?
Yes.
I have nothing further.
Mr. Jackson.
Pastor.
What?
Oh, you're me. I'm
sorry.
I was saying hi. I was just not looking at you. Apologize. Mr.
Ebersbach.
Okay, I'm trying to make sure I get that right. Mr. Ebersbach. Are you affiliated with the...
No, I'm an outlaw. I've been an outlaw since 1999.
Okay, you're an outlaw.
Yes. And what's really amazing, I was an outlaw on Daytona Beach from 1999 to 2001, and nobody knows me. That's kind of strange. And then I went to Orlando over there in 2002. And then I'm coming back to Daytona Beach as soon as my daughter gets out of the house.
Yes. Now, doesn't the Outlaws, don't you have area chapters? Are you a member of the Daytona chapter?
Absolutely not.
You're a member of a different chapter?
Absolutely.
Oh, okay. Which chapter?
I'm from Orlando.
So that's the Orlando chapter. Is that how it works?
I am out of the Orlando chapter, that's correct.
Okay. Where do you reside?
Where do I reside? I reside in Orlando.
Okay. Have you ever resided at the house at 605 Tanglewood?
I've stayed there on many occasions. I don't reside there on a permanent basis, no.
Okay, when you say...
The last time I was there was Thursday.
Okay. And you stayed overnight?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, I did stay overnight Thursday night.
Okay, and you mentioned the outlaw members as your brothers.
Correct.
Okay, and your brothers come to the house whenever they want to, pretty much.
No, absolutely not. There are brothers I wouldn't have in my house.
Okay, but do you have restrictions?
But in general?
Yes.
In general, yes, I'll have a party, and in general, I will invite my outlaw brethren to that party. Yes, I will.
Okay, and when you have these parties and invite your brethren, do you contact Mr. Graham and say, hey, I got these brothers coming?
No, I don't. No, I run it. No, I don't do that. I'm the one that actually... Let me go back for a minute. You got to remember, the outlaws don't come to Daytona Beach to see me. They don't come to Daytona Beach to come to my house. The outlaws come to Daytona Beach to have a good time and party, go down Main Street, do what every other biker does in the United States. Okay, that's what outlaws do.
Okay.
Now I, out of courtesy to my brothers, the outlaw brothers, I will have a party at my house, and I will invite them to my house. I'm responsible. Not Hillbilly, not anybody else. I'm responsible for my house.
Okay, help me to understand these parties. Is it a continuous flowing party? I mean, you mentioned that people can go and come back.
No. Like I'm saying, it's... I get some water, please?
Sure, absolutely. I need some as well.
Okay.
Getting low.
No, not general parties. I will primarily have the party during Bike Week or Biketoberfest.
Okay, now
when I'm called about a party, that, hey, do you mind if I have a party at your house on Sunday? I'm going to say, okay, fine, who's coming? Because I want to know who's coming to my house, because I'm not there, I'm in Orlando.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. And they give you a list of names of people?
No, they'll just say so-and-so's coming, this group's coming, this group's coming, this group's coming.
Okay.
Okay, that's fine. All it is a courtesy to me. Call me up and say, I'm using your house for a party. That's the only courtesy. If I was going to use your house for a party, I wouldn't do it without calling you if you were out of town. I just wouldn't arbitrarily walk in your house and have a party. I'd call you up and say, can I use your swimming pool?
But they call and they say, well...
It's not for permission. It's for... I'm calling you up to let you know that, hey...
Courtesy.
Courtesy. We're going to have a party.
So they're in North Carolina.
North Carolina.
Example.
We have a chapter in North Carolina.
Okay, well, I don't know. But just an example. Well, let's say... Okay, we have some folks coming. They're coming from Georgia. They're part of the Atlanta chapter. And I know I may not be in Atlanta chapter, and that's kind of what they say, and that's what...
I'm going to say no. Go south.
Okay, but that's the type of communication.
Oh, yeah, probably.
But I
would say no. Go south.
Okay. And your knowledge of them is that they're your brothers, and you know I said your knowledge of them is that they're your brothers.
I tell you what. They're brothers that I don't like.
And you know what chapter
they're
from.
Brothers that I like. You know what I'm saying?
And so you're going to facilitate them.
Yeah.
And you're going to entertain them.
Yes.
And provide food and...
Absolutely.
And
I am going to be as hospitable as I can to my brethren that I respect and I want to be around. Yes, absolutely.
Okay, now, Richard Graham mentioned parties of 50 to 100, which wasn't necessarily part of the major event parties. Are you part of those as well?
Generally only through knowledge. Okay. I will come over. I have been sick I got pneumonia in November. And I've been sick since November. I have not been traveling a lot or doing a lot of things since November because of my pneumonia and my illness. I have bronchial problems and breathing problems.
Okay.
So maybe that's why I haven't been seen a lot out and about. Or my vehicle hadn't been there because... I have people take me places because I'm not able, health-wise, right now, to get out and ride my motorcycle and rock and roll like I could a year ago.
Understand.
Okay? Oh, and another thing I want to say.
Oh, you're welcome.
You know, I want to get you know, I'm not a criminal. I have never been arrested in my life. I'm 63 years old. I have not been arrested, never been in jail in my whole life. Go check it. I'm not guilty of anything. The only thing I'm guilty of, I guess, is biking in Brotherhood or wearing a patch of an organization. I don't know. I don't understand that because, like I said, I worked at Walt Disney World for 37 years, and I don't think Walt Disney World's going to hire a criminal or a murderer or a child molester or anything else. And yeah. they check you real good, so.
And understand, I'm not here to try and prove you guilty of anything other than zoning violation.
I'm going to tell you something. There are bad people in every organization. I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's the Outlaws. I don't care if it's the police department. I don't care if it's the clergy. It doesn't matter where it is. There are bad people everywhere. But for every one or two bad people, there's a lot of good people.
Ms. Ebersbach, we always allow owners to go ahead and have their way, and that's
okay.
What I'm doing.
Okay, that's all I wanted to do.
Okay. What I also wanted to ask you is this. You said that you occasionally stay there in the house.
I stay in the house. Of course I do.
Anyone else occasionally stay there?
Not that I'm aware of, other than Panhead. He's the one I'm holding responsible and accountable for making sure that when I move over here, because that's what my goal is, is to move in this house, that it's in one piece when I come over.
Okay. So there are periods when you stay there overnight, even when there are events going on, no one else stays overnight.
I generally don't stay overnight there during events. Can't answer that question. Okay. I'll come over for the event, and I'll spend 2 or 3 hours, 4 hours, meet and greet, and I'll go back to Orlando. I'm 53 years old. I'm not a party animal.
So the party set, the big event parties, they're organized for... They're run by you.
Pretty much, yeah. I'm the guy. Yes, I'm the guy that takes care of making sure.
And to the best
that thing, that thing. Are you talking about hillbilly? Yeah. Okay, hillbilly Jacksonville Outlaws got a head this big. Okay. You got an ego about this big. You'd ask him. He's in charge of Georgia, Florida, the whole world. Okay. So if he's out there running around, taking charge of situations, that's his ego. He don't tell me what to do with my dwelling or my house. The only person that does that is me.
So when we're being contacted, or we as a city of Daytona Beach...
I didn't even know he was contacting. I'm going to find out what the hell he's doing.
Allow me to ask it.
Huh?
When the city of Daytona Beach is being contacted by Hillbilly, your instruction is, one, it's not on your behalf, and
no, I don't know what he's doing.
Mr. Ebersbach,
I don't have an answer to that question.
Would you please allow Mr. Jackson to finish his question before you respond.
And
same courtesy to Mr. Robinson when he asks questions. Thank you.
Go ahead.
And what we're doing is watching the court reporter behind you going frantic, trying to catch both of us.
I just don't feel good. I apologize. I'm just not feeling well.
It's easy to be irritable when you don't feel good.
And I'm irritable.
But just so that we're clear on that question, when Hillbilly's contacting us to try and set up things for the benefit of the Outlaws at your house, or regarding your house, we should not be listening to Hillbilly?
Absolutely not. He don't have any right to make the shots called my house.
No right, no authority.
Absolutely not. I'm going to call him and find out what he's doing, too. I got his phone number. I don't need to get it from you. He's staying in Jacksonville.
Question about the bar setup in the garage set.
Absolutely. Temporary, and we use it during parties.
Okay, and describe that to us.
It's a piece of plywood with a top on it.
Mr. Oppersbach, would you speak into the mic, please, just for the
I'm record? Sorry, you really, yeah, for them more than...
It's a piece of plywood with a top on it, pretty much, is all it is.
And that facilitates hundreds of people?
No. There's never hundreds of people there at one time. The place couldn't hold hundreds of people at one time.
Not, well, when you say at one time in the garage.
You know, I'm hearing numbers.
Yeah.
That's unreasonable. Actually, I've been an outlaw for 12 years almost. And I'm hearing these 300 and 400 counts. We never have that many. Maybe one time, I think, in my whole outlaw career, we even come close to that.
What's our numbers? What numbers?
I mean, I'm guessing probably, I would say 250 during a major event, you know, like Biketoberfest.
Your setup facilitates the 250.
No, they're not all there at one time. I'm saying that, you know, the groups come. What we do is we set out the food. When the girls bring the food over,
yes,
we'll set it out like a buffet. As they come and go, they'll eat the buffet. So there's, you know, maybe on a Saturday, which is generally the last day of the event, we have more there than at any other time. You know, the first couple of days, you don't even see anybody. They're gone out in town. You know, they're out partying. Usually on the last day is when they'll congregate to say, bye, brother, I'll see you next year or whatever.
Mr. Ebersbach, it's pretty much common knowledge that biker clubs have meetings. Y'all have meetings?
Absolutely.
And do they meet when they're at your house?
They better not be meeting in my house because it's not a clubhouse. This is a dwelling that I purchased for my retirement, and if they are putting me in a liable situation, I'm going to deal with it.
Okay, so
this is my dwelling that I bought for my retirement. And yes, I have asked Panhead, and before him, I asked another brother to watch it for me, the one that's playing the water bill.
Right.
Okay, and now, I don't know what happened with him at all. I don't know if he got into some trouble or whatever it was, but he didn't do it anymore.
Okay, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I just want to make sure I understand what you're saying, which is if it's happening, you don't know, and your instruction as owner of the house is for the activities not to be happening if it's a club.
Yeah. No, I have never given any specific, I guess, direction to any one individual saying this is not a clubhouse. I have given specific direction to people saying, this is my dwelling. Understand what I'm trying to say?
I understand what you're saying.
This is not a clubhouse.
Okay,
this is my house.
So if the conclusion is made, and this is just, if the conclusion is made that there are activities that would make it, that would result in a determination that the use of the house is being used for club purposes or lodging, a club or a lodge purposes, and I say lodging, but I meant like a Elk Lodge, a club or a lodge purposes, then your desire for that not to happen, and you're going to make that stop.
Absolutely.
Okay. And if that determinant's made, how much time would it take you to stop that type of activity?
I got to go find out if it's happening first. I mean, I'm hearing here it is. I live in Orlando. I do come over 6 or 7 times a month, probably.
But a week is probably reasonable.
For me?
I mean, for something
yeah.
Like
that. If it's going on. I'm not convinced it's going on.
Understand.
Because I tell you, I don't announce when I'm coming from Jacksonville or Ocala or South Florida. I don't automatically call them and say, hey, cook me dinner, I'm on my way. You know, I don't announce that. My house.
Okay.
I show up there.
Mr. Ebersbach, if they are not meeting at your house, where are they meeting?
I can't answer that question. I don't know. I mean, I can't answer it. I've not seen a meeting at my house. I have not participated in a meeting at my house.
Okay. I don't have any other questions.
I mean, I can't answer that.
Nothing further.
Is there any member of the board who has any questions? Mr. Eberspach?
Mr. Eberspach, do you know where the Daytona chapter meets?
No, I don't. I'm from Orlando. I'm from Orlando. Yeah.
Is there a Daytona chapter?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's a chapter of Outlaws in Daytona. Yes, there is. Has been. How many, you say?
30.
Late 70s.
Okay. He knows more than I do. I mean, I only come in 99.
Okay.
So there's chapter here.
You've stated that they come to your house to socialize.
Absolutely.
How many brothers?
Oh, God. I mean, it's depending on the situation. If it's Biketoberfest or Bike Week, again, I'm saying that we have a large amount in and out, not all there at one time. They're out on a town. I gave a number, I think, a minute ago, of probably 250 brothers coming to town from north, you know, east, west, or whatever. I agree, there has been up to 400. I mean, I've seen it that big before. Not often, but I have seen it that big before. But that's an exception to the rule on that.
To your knowledge, have tents ever been set up on your property?
I saw the pictures and I remembered it. Yes, there was. And, in fact, where's the inspector at? You've seen me before, and you and I have talked before, because...
Mr. Eberspach, okay. Can you please respond to the question?
You know that hedgerow beside the house? The one that the other gentleman that I bought the house off of? That he actually paid for cutting down? We didn't pay for cutting it down. He just showed up one day and cut it down.
Mr. Eberspach, I actually directed the question to you. This is not actually the time for you to question the inspector.
Okay. I got confused. Would you please ask that again?
Have there been tents set up on your property?
Yes.
How frequently does that happen?
One time we were told that it was against code and they went down.
So to your knowledge, just once?
To my knowledge, just one time, yes.
Okay. That's all the questions I have, Mr. Chair.
I have a couple of questions. When you bought this house to retire, did you get a mortgage or you paid cash for this?
No, what I actually did is I took a bunch of money out of my 401k.
Okay.
And put a large down payment on it.
So you have
to
a
make
mortgage.
So that I can live decently, yes.
So you have a house here. Is there anyone paying any rent to you?
No, absolutely not.
Is this all coming out of your pocket?
Yes, because when I got married last year, I married a lady that's got some money and has her own house. So I made out like a bandit.
And there's some reason why other people are paying the utilities? They're in other people instead of your name.
And I'm paying?
Well, Mr. Graham,
I bring the money over because, again, I don't live in Daytona, and I don't have the luxury to constantly drive all this way.
Okay, you don't.
I generally drop the money off, and
you don't need to. They mail you a bill.
The bill comes to the dwelling, to the house here in Daytona. It doesn't come to my house over in Orlando. If it come to my house in Orlando,
you wouldn't need to come.
I wouldn't need to do that. I just send them a check in. I mean, but what I've tried to do is I tried to keep everything that deals with the house on Tanglewood at Tanglewood. Okay. That way I don't get confused in my bookkeeping, you might say, because I'm not real good at it, of paperwork and things like that. So I wanted everything to come to Tanglewood that dealt with Tanglewood.
You're spending quite a bit of money for your guests, and that's out of the goods.
Oh, no, all of it's not coming personally. A lot of things are donated, food and things are donated.
Okay, but the house,
I don't. No. I don't spend all that money for that food. I'm sorry if I misled you that all that food money doesn't come out of my pocket.
No, I was talking about the utilities and if there's any mortgage left at all.
I have a pretty hefty income.
Okay.
Pretty hefty income.
Good. The other thing, are there other places that in the general area that you can drop into in other cities similar to what you have here?
Yes.
There are?
Yes.
Okay.
No, let me go back. Let me rephrase that so there's no confusion. When you say facilities...
A place.
I go to other brethren's house. I go to other clubhouses in the state of Florida. Yes, I do.
Other clubhouses?
Yeah, other clubhouses. Not when I say other, I don't mean other than Daytona. I'm talking other clubhouses in the state of Florida.
All right. Thank you very much.
You know?
Mark, do you have any questions?
Yes. Mr. Eversbach, your witness, Richard Graham, is he related to you in any way?
Absolutely not. Oh, well, he is. He's my brother and to the Outlaws, but personally, he's not related to me, no.
Thank you.
Not at all. He just takes care of things for me.
Yes, Stephen Kent pays the water bill. You provide the money for that?
I provide the money for everything, yes.
And the same for the electric bill?
What now?
The same for the electricity?
I come over once a month, generally, and drop off funding for them to take care of that.
In the phone bill?
I guess. I don't know exactly. I drop off some money. He'll tell me how much I need to bring over. And he goes and pays the bill. I don't know. I can't sit there and tell you what each individual thing costs. Other than the mortgage, I can tell you what that is. You know, that's a pretty big chunk. But other than that, I couldn't tell you about, you know, what the phone bill cost or the water bill cost. He takes care of all that for me.
So
make
you
sure it happens.
So you provide the money for all the utilities?
Correct.
And for the taxes?
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Brown.
Yes, sir. Just one last question. You stated that when you go out of town, you can contact the members there about their clubhouses. When they come to Daytona, do they have to contact you about standing at your clubhouse?
Absolutely. Well, it's not a clubhouse.
Okay.
This is not a clubhouse.
Okay.
Now, if they're going to stay at my personal dwelling, yeah, they need to call me and say, do you mind if I stay at your house overnight?
Could you... If you don't mind, describe what a clubhouse in another city looks like. Not the intricate parts, but is it a house usually?
Generally it is a home.
Okay.
A larger home.
Okay.
Larger home. More than likely it's a living room, family room, kitchen area, minimum of 3 bedrooms probably.
Okay.
Probably twice the square footage, probably around 20, I would say.
Okay. So basically, I just want to make sure, clubhouse generally would be a little larger than your home, but the same number of bedrooms.
Except for Orlando, it's got a real small clubhouse.
But their house is a smaller one, but it's the clubhouse.
Yeah, it's small in general, but generally it's bigger. Ours is just, again, it's a single family dwelling. I think there's a lot of confusion out here. I think there's a lot of outlaws out here that are assuming things because the communication is probably poor at best, okay? And you talk about black and white, my motorcycle's black and white. My house is black and white. I'm an outlaw. Everything I own is going to be black and white. I love the club. I've been in it for a long time. It's going to be black and white. You know what I mean? And I just think there's some confusion out here, I hope. And, you know, I'm going to go from there.
Okay. In general, the clubhouses are houses.
Pretty much.
Okay. Thank
Pretty
you.
Pretty much.
Okay. Mr. Eversbach.
Yes, sir.
To your knowledge or your recollection, has anyone in any Outlaws Club ever referred to your home and on Tanglewood
Obviously
Street?
They have.
Let me finish. Has anyone ever referred to your house or your dwelling, the property that you own on 605 Tanglewood Street, as the Daytona Beach Clubhouse?
Obviously they have,
sir. For the
Outlaws. Huh?
For the Outlaws. Outlaws Clubhouse.
Obviously they have. I haven't personally heard it.
My question was specifically to your knowledge.
No,
has anyone ever referred to you?
No, to my knowledge. It hasn't said to me, no. The first time I heard about this is when, I guess what you call it, the citation came out.
Okay.
And I got a phone call basically saying that they're challenging, the city's challenging that this is a clubhouse. And I said, it's not a clubhouse.
And who did you receive that phone call from?
Let me remember who I received that from. It was, I believe it was you, wasn't it?
I don't even remember.
It was either him or Kent.
Him.
The guy, Kent was the guy that originally was going to take care of my business for me. That kind of disappeared. I don't recall, but I did get a phone call. I just don't recollect who called me. Just and that's the first time I've heard of it.
Okay. Just for the record, how many times would you think that you've heard that someone else is referring to your property as the Daytona Beach Outlaws Clubhouse?
First time when I got the phone call.
Okay. And that phone call was received around July. Is that fair?
It's been a while back, and I thought it was resolved and rectified.
Okay. What happened?
Because I didn't hear any more about it. It hasn't been most recent, no.
What actions did you take after you heard that?
I basically said it's not a clubhouse.
Did you take any handle?
No, I didn't come here. I didn't take any type of action per se other than, because it wasn't, I mean, if there's nothing going wrong, there's no action you need to really take if there's nothing going wrong. I mean, if it was a clubhouse, then you would need to take action to try to resolve it with the city. But if it's not a clubhouse, then there's no resolution to be made. And in my perception, that's not a clubhouse.
Okay.
In my perception, that is my house. And right. It's obviously, in other perceptions, it's called clubhouse.
Okay. That's fair, your statement. You said
that's all I can really say at this
okay.
point.
Let me ask you then.
Yes.
Have you had the opportunity to review the land development code for the city of Daytona Beach in
comparison I don't know anything about it. I don't
with
know.
Your perception?
No, I've not reviewed it. I'd like to get a copy.
I have a two-part question. When and why did you hire Mr. Robinson?
Because I am totally unfamiliar with the law and the codes, pretty naive, actually, about it. And Dave's been around for 100 years, and I have a lot of trust in Dave's, knowledge, because he's been in Daytona a long time, and, Dave's been around the Outlaws a long time, and I respect that.
Is he a member of the Outlaws, to your knowledge?
Who, Dave?
Yes.
No.
I'm just asking.
Do you want to be? No, I don't want you to be. No, I don't want you to.
But you answered part of my question in a sense, but you didn't answer the other part.
What was
part.
The other part?
The other part was, when did you hire Mr. Robinson as your
when
counsel?
When was it? Last week, Dave? I don't know. Probably last week. Right before we came over, I called Dave up.
Can I ask you another question regarding that? Okay. Generally speaking, Mr. Ebersbach, when a person has been cited for a violation of the Land Development Code for the City of Daytona Beach, they don't necessarily, and I'm not saying you don't have the right to do this, they don't necessarily go out and get counsel to represent them to come before this board. What made you do it?
Outlaws do. I tell you something, we're very, for some ungodly reason, we're very disliked in this community, and I would tell you probably more in this community than any community that I have ever participated in. I'll be honest with you, I don't think we get a fair shake. I don't think we get a fair deal. I'll be honest with you, I just want to make sure I'm doing everything the right way, and because I don't want to make mistakes.
Great. I appreciate that.
Mr. Chair, I'm sorry to interrupt. I just need to have been asked to make sure you all understood that we had till noon for the room. There's a meeting scheduled at noon. I don't know if we got to move to another location. I'm not asking you to rush or do anything else.
Sure. Okay.
No, but I do have a couple of questions.
One question.
Mr. Ebersbach, the panel seems incredulous about your financing of this residence. And if you don't mind telling us, what is your monthly pension and Social Security combined, your monthly income?
Probably around between $53,000 and $6,000 a month.
And that's what you get from your pension with Disney and Social Security?
I get right at $4,000 from my Disney pension, and I get right at $6,000 a month what I get,
And that makes it possible for you to pay the bills?
Oh, absolutely, because my wife, the lady I married's owned this house, you know, all her life, and, you know, she takes care of all that.
And outlaw clubhouses always have an insignia on the front, do they not?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Describe what the skull and cross piston
Charlie.
Is. That's called Charlie?
That's Charlie, and all outlaw clubhouses will have Charlie on the clubhouse to identify that clubhouse as a clubhouse. So the brothers that don't know how to find their way have a landmark to, you know, find your house.
And this card that someone named Cloudy handed to Officer Beers or at the neighborhood board meeting, did you authorize him to print up a card that said Cloudy 1% 605 Tanglewood?
That's an illegal card. We're allowed a business card, but it's a specific design card, and it surely isn't that one. As far as I'm concerned, he's done that on his own. I think that's
nothing further.
You know.
I just have one, and I think it's kind of Mr. Joy thing. As far as the Scott
Charlie. Yeah.
That's a matter of rule, I presume, that every clubhouse has Charlie.
I'm not going to sit here and say it's a rule. I will sit here and say it's not an exception not to have one. I mean, we all got them. Every clubhouse has them, has outlaw markings on it, you know, an AOA or a Charlie, everywhere you go.
What's an AOA?
American Outlaw Association.
So, I mean, it either has one or the other?
No, it could have both. I mean, do you remember the old Daytona house? The Daytona house had a Charlie mailbox. The one I came up through had a Charlie mailbox, had an AOA on the window.
Here's my point.
And OFFO on the other side.
Yeah, here's my point.
Okay.
Is there nowhere you're telling us that they have, nowhere they can have a clubhouse and not have these markings on it?
Nowhere they would want to have a clubhouse and not have it on it. Let me rephrase that. I mean, anyone that has a clubhouse wants to brag about it and show off because they're proud of it and happy, and they're going to put this all over it. It's not on my dwelling because it's my dwelling. If I tell you what, if that was a clubhouse, it would have Charlie on it. That's my assumption. That's my assumption. That's all
just
I can say.
For the board, I just got a note that says that we're good to stay. The other meeting is moved. And so there's no rushing anymore.
Thank you.
But I guess the real question is, you don't know every clubhouse, every outlaw clubhouse.
I've been to quite. I tell you what, I have not been to every outlaw clubhouse in this nation, but in 12 years, I bet you I've been to 90% of them. Other than the new ones.
Okay.
Oh yes, I have. I travel a lot.
Okay, very good. I don't have anything else.
If I may finish up my questions, Mr. Eberbach, and I don't
want to
believe. No, that's fine.
Come on. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to get out of order.
Mr. Hayes, for any further questions, then we'll go back.
Do you have any further questions?
Oh, yeah, something just popped in my. You've been in every clubhouse.
Not every clubhouse. I have been in the majority of the. I've been in 90% of clubhouses in the United States. Now,
but you haven't been to Daytona Beach Clubhouse for the last 2 years.
We haven't had a clubhouse since we lost the one over there where the shootout was.
So right now, when they meet,
I have no idea. I don't know. Okay. They can meet at Crystal. I have no earthly idea.
Okay.
Mr. Eberbach.
Yes, sir.
You testified that periodically when you come over from Orlando to your dwelling or your property here in Daytona Beach, you don't stay all day. You might stay 2 or 3 hours.
I stayed all night occasionally. I stayed all night on Thursday.
Okay.
Okay, this past Thursday, but during an event, do you typically stay all night?
Yeah, oh yeah, during an event. I stay there for that whole event. Yes, I'm running that thing.
Okay,
and I'm responsible
then,
for it.
Huh? As I asked Mr. Graham, are there persons who stay overnight or fall asleep in your dwelling during events?
I do.
Besides you? You're the owner.
I'm not going to sit here and be naive enough to look at you in the eye and tell you that I don't have a brother that passes out on my couch at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning because he can't ride his motorcycle, and I go take the keys out of the ignition so he don't cram himself or kill himself. So I'm not going to be naive to say no, that somebody hasn't stayed in my house, okay?
But
it's an exception to the rule if that happens. It's not a...
But in fairness, based on your statement that you're only there on average 2 to 3 hours, is it fair to assume that others may stay overnight and you're not aware of that
during events and otherwise?
That
could happen, yeah. I can't sit here and swear to that, no. I can't.
How are the potties formed that occur at the property?
There's utter confusion.
Pardon?
And it's not formed. It's just total mass confusion, basically. I mean... When you say formed...
Well, you said that ladies usually bring covered dishes and things like that.
Okay. I got you now. I misunderstood what you were saying.
Who struck
when
the
When I
party?
Pick the day that we're going to have the major food is when I get with the women and say, okay, fine, Saturday we're going to have steak, we're going to have potatoes, and we're going to have green beans. Make it happen. That's basically as easy it is. Or we'll cater sometimes. Or, you know, there's a lot of brothers in some of the other clubs that are friendly with us, that do things for us. You know, they bring cook and things like that.
Okay, with 200 people coming for an event, how is that communicated over a short period of time?
The food's not that good. They don't eat that much at the clubhouse. I mean, you can put a buffet out at the clubhouse, and sometimes that buffet will still be sitting there 2 hours late. I'm not trying to be negative, but everybody cooks differently, and everybody's tastes are differently. I mean, if you put out chili, it's going to go. If you put out spaghetti, it's going to go.
Okay.
But, you know, if somebody tried to do something creative, that's not going to happen.
One last question, because there is some misunderstanding or lack of understanding, I should say, not a misunderstanding, but lack of understanding. You said you've been a member of the Outlaws since 1999, is that correct?
I came over in 1999, here with me, that's when Smitty was here.
I have a question. How are persons of authority appointed, elected, or put in positions of authority, or where they can make decisions for...
I mean, most of the time it's just taking charge of the destiny and taking charge of the situation and making it happen, and people follow.
So is there no structured manner of putting a person in a position of authority?
Mean,
are there any bylaws that exist?
It's basically the person that takes shows the initiative to take charge and make things happen, and they become the leaders. You know, we were talking about Hillbilly earlier.
So are you saying there are no bylaws or anything?
I don't know anything about Hillbilly. He's from Jacksonville.
No, I didn't name anyone specifically. I'm asking you now in general. Are there any bylaws that tell about the structure of the club?
No. We have some rules or bylaws, yes, but I don't have a bylaw of how a structure is organized.
Is the club registered with the state of Florida or any other state, to your knowledge? Is the club registered with the state of Florida as an organization?
No.
It's just structure.
I couldn't tell you how, like, Georgia's organized or anything.
Well, I'm saying even in the state of Florida.
I couldn't tell you who all the people are in Florida are responsible.
That's not what I asked. I said, is it a formal organization according to the records of the state of Florida? The AOA or
I guess you would say that
Florida,
we are
Daytona
a
Beach.
Formal organization, yes. I would say, we're a formal organization.
Okay. All right, thanks. I think Mr. Brown had a question.
Two follow-up questions. One I had before, and one I just wrote down. In response to Mr. Stevens' question, you stated that a lot of times people do not eat the food that we put out at the clubhouse, and he was asking you about your property. Is it a clubhouse or is it not?
Huh? Now, it's my property. That was probably a slip of the tongue because I don't feel good, and I'm up here, and I've got all these questions being thrown at me.
Okay.
And, you know, you're going to have a slip of the tongue.
Gotcha.
You
know? Is it possible that this property is used as a clubhouse without your knowledge?
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely.
And just for the record, according to the appraiser site, Mr. Eversbach, your property actually is 1,780 square feet, and I'll share this with the board members.
I was pretty close to guessing.
That's 1,100 under roof, plus the garage, which measures, according to this record, 608 square feet. So the total would be 1,780 square feet.
Well, it surely don't look that big.
Mr. Chairman, I have a question. Is it possible that in the various national bike magazines or the local ones that come out prior to Bike Week festivals, that there would be any mention of an open house at your home, club, whatever you're going to call it? Is there any possibility?
If it was a clubhouse, yes, but at my house, no.
So there's going to be no advertising of any sort in any magazine?
I hope not.
That.
I mean, I can't
with
sit
your
here,
knowledge.
I can't sit here and say there's not going to be. I will tell you that in a clubhouse situation, yeah, there could be. I haven't really seen one for the Outlaws. I've seen them for other clubs.
Mm-hmm.
And we generally don't do that. But God, I hope not. That's all I can say.
Okay. Thank you.
You know,
I guess we're done. Mr. Williams, did you have a question?
Is the chair receptive to a motion?
Absolutely.
Well,
we need to allow them to close, yes. Yes. Mr. Robinson.
Well,
thank you, Mr. Eversbach. Mr. Eversbach, thank you.
We've all heard testimony, and we have to rely now upon our application of the facts.
Do you have any further witnesses, Mr. Williams?
No, sir. I'm sorry. I have rest.
Okay. Who wants to go first to close?
I will. Some up here. Good. Is that okay with you? I mean,
yeah.
And now what we've got
to okay.
Turn to is the pertinent provisions of the code. In the pertinent provisions of the code, the most relevant one is a club or lodge, which is defined as a facility operated by an association of persons for a common cause and governed by an elected body. I don't see any proof that there was any elections, comprised from its membership, primarily designed, and this was primarily designed some years ago as a single family dwelling, painted black and white back when it was originally built, for the entertainment and pleasure of its membership, offering facilities and services for entertainment and food and drink for consumption of individual members and their invited guests. What we have here is a Mr. Eversbach, who's not shy about admitting that he's a member of the Outlaws. I don't think that there's a dispute there. The Chief Beers, Deputy Chief Beers, would like to suggest that they're the boogeyman and we should disregard the laws and just throw them out because they're bad people. We had Susie Wingard, or Winford, who's been a police officer part-time for 20 years, lives right next door, says she's not afraid of them, and she's been to meetings saying that nobody in the neighborhood that, to her knowledge, has complained of Mr. Eversbach being there. She says there's somebody who's schizophrenic that hides behind trees and bushes and may cause some trouble. The principal use is another definition. The primary purpose or function served to provide. The principal use will be determined not only by the nature of the occupancy, which in this case is by Mr. Eversbach for a retirement home, but also by the design and arrangement of the building, structures, and improvements. It's a single-family residence, 3 bedrooms, 2 baths. He indicates that it's his house, and he has his brothers come down on bike week, and they come there, and they see their other brothers, and they go out for a ride around the loop or down Main Street, go back to their motels. The place simply isn't big enough for all those people to stay there. The one time the tents were pitched, they were out of there within hours. Mr. Richard Graham, also known as Panhead, takes care of the place. Mr. Eversbach has a monthly retirement income of $6,000 a month, which is, I at least am jealous. And he can easily pay the $700 a month mortgage and another $200 or $300 in utilities. for his house. He says he comes over here several times a month. Sometimes he stays, sometimes he doesn't. He differentiated his house from clubhouses, and even Officer Beers was cognizant of the fact there's no insignia on the outside of this house. You could drive by it without being able to look at the mailbox. You wouldn't know what it is because it's a single-family residence. The events aren't year-round. It's not like the Moose or the Elks or the Eagles where people are there on a daily basis. The events are primarily during Bike Week when a lot of his brothers come down and fraternize with him, their guests. He has primary control. He doesn't take orders from Hillbilly. He doesn't take orders from anybody else. And that's the definition of a club, a facility operated by an association. It's Mr. Ebersbach alone that controls what goes on in that house. There's no evidence that it looks like anything other than a normal house inside. A lot of people have a pool table and a small bar in their garage or up north where I'm from in your basement. Officer Beers also indicated that all the other clubhouses have had the Charlie, which is the cross pistons and skull, as well as AOA or something on the mailbox or on the front of the house. This individual, Cloudy, handed out a card. That's something done by an individual, not done by Mr. Ebersbach, condoned by him. And this is the first time either he or I have seen that card, and it will never happen again. The house had a number of code violations that were in existence when Dayton Payton owned it. Those were cleaned up the week that Mr. Ebersbach purchased it. The house is furnished like a house. That's another criteria. There's sofas, televisions, beds in the house. There is no hierarchy. Hillbilly doesn't have authority to do what contact Officer Beers. If he's doing it, it's not at the insistence of Mr. Ebersbach. Porta parties aren't a code violation. Having a number of people over to your house isn't a code violation. There's nothing in the code, and I've reviewed it, that says you can have 50 or 75 or 175 guests at your house. When different individuals were told they can't park on the dirt in front of the house, they moved their vehicles and took care of that problem. Mr. Stenson made his determination from the outside of the residence. He went by 10 or 15 times, and only during the times that there were major events did he see a number of people at the residence. You can't correct something that's not broken. You can't fix something that's not broken. This has always been a residence. It continues to be a residence, and to tell Mr. Ebersbach that he can't have friends down, the city might as well condemn his house and purchase it from him by eminent domain. I would ask that you not grant the city the relief they seek.
Y'all are being asked to accept the thought that all an organization needs to do is take Charlie off the wall, and it's no longer a clubhouse. And we've heard if it walks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, it's a duck. I agree with Mr. Robinson's statements regarding the definition of indicating use and categories of use in our code, Section 3.1. And we do have a definition for clubs or lodge as a use. And in that definition, we talk of a facility operated by an association of persons for common cause. And it says, and governed by an elected body comprised from its membership. Well, elected, selected, chosen to follow. I don't know if we're under a formal definition of an election. Primarily designed for the entertainment and pleasure of its members. Offering facilities and service for entertainment and food and drink for consumption of individual members and their invited guests. The violation is not failure to follow the definition of a club or a lodge. The violation is that they are using this in a non-conforming way. It's non-conforming with the use requirements of our code. The structure itself, from all appearances, is a single-family home. But the use of the structure is what's been observed and testified to by the officer, by the inspector, and even by these individuals who are testifying on their own behalf. The use of the structure has clearly been a use as a clubhouse for the outlaws. It's the place where they gather people of same organization, insignia, and group, and not only on major events, but especially on major events, but not only on the major events, throughout the year, having individuals and members of their group who are invited for various times and various circumstances. Is that like the Elks? Is that like the... It doesn't take a large gathering for the Elks Clubhouse to be the Elks Clubhouse or the lodge or whatever it is, or the other lodges. It doesn't take a large gathering for them to be the place that they meet. This is a meeting place. This is a place for the gathering of that organization, where that organization overloads and overwhelms the community. The community that can't handle its density, it's not designed for it, it's not zoned for it. And the zoning capacity as to other members that are single family, it's just an unfair application of the use of the house. If for no other reason you have an owner who says that I'm directing use of a house from a distance, it has the appearance or the suggestion of someone who's saying I make my home available for visitors as a visitation home or a gathering home or a party home. Well, none of those are consistent with single-family use of a home. And for those reasons, this is a violation of our zoning code, and I ask you to find them in violation and ask for them to come into compliance within the next 2 weeks, which I believe everyone has acknowledged they can do.
Does any member of the board have any questions, comments about the proceeding?
I'd like to propose a motion.
Please.
I think we've sat here for 3 hours, and just now I heard counsel use the definitive term, use. Testimony is uncontradicted by Mr. Ebersbach that he lives and resides in Orlando. Testimony is absolute that the Mr. Richard Graham Fanhead is a caretaker. He takes care of the place. Under that circumstance, the use is basically that of a party house, call it whatever you want, but it's definitely not a residential purpose. And I think once that those two statements have been put forth and not contradicted, I think that should settle the whole matter. I don't care whether it's the outlaws or the in-laws or anybody else.
It's a question of the use, and it's not being used for residential purposes. That's all there is to it.
So what is your motion, Mr. Burns?
I propose that the respondent be held to be in noncompliance.
We have a motion by Mr. Burns. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Brown. Are there any questions or comments by members of the board?
Yes, I just want to comment, Mr. Chair. I believe it was stated clearly by Mr. Ebersbach himself that the food at the clubhouse were the words that he used, and him stating that it's possible for this property to be used as a clubhouse and him not know it to give us more than enough evidence that they are in noncompliance. I think the greater question to be, when can they bring the property into compliance? I just wanted to make that statement.
Mr. Harris?
Yeah, I think it's wonderful to live in a neighborhood where not one single person objects to various activities. It must be a rarity. But all I know is I live in a condo, a residential condo. I've had individual homes, and if I started putting tents and porta potties and people parking all over, and people were coming to 3 and 4 in the morning, there would be a lot of questions asked about what I'm using that house for. And to me, there's no doubt about it that this is not used as a residential home. So,
Smart.
I was going to make the statement that Mr. Brown made earlier about how Mr. Everbach had said people don't eat that much at the clubhouse. Also earlier, in speaking, he referred to other clubhouses. I know he said he was under stress, but twice he's referred to his building is related to a clubhouse.
Do you have any additional comments?
No, that's it.
I too heard those comments, Mr. Smart, and I was sort of torn, especially with counsel's definition of the lodging. But again, as Mr. Borns has stated, we're not here to determine the structure of the building. We're here to determine what the use of the structure is in this particular matter. And again, Mr. Ebersbach has testified and used the term clubhouse, referring to his property. There is some testimony as well that somewhat contradicted between Ms. Whitford as to her ability or whether or not she has entered the building or not, and Mr. Graham contradicted her and said, yes, she has at least once. It appears as though, as the city has stated, there are events and persons are being entertained at this particular dwelling, and I think that is contradictory to the use, according to the City of Daytona Beach Land Development Code. Yes, Mr. Robinson, persons can have parties at their homes, but I doubt that they're at the scale that these are taking place. But it goes beyond that. We've heard comments by every member of the board. We have a motion and a second. I'll ask again, are there any additional comments or questions by members of the board? Hearing none, all those in favor to find the respondent in noncompliance, say aye.
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 Any opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Mr. Ebersbach or Mr. Robinson, would you please come forward, and we'd like to find out, based on the actions that were just taken, finding your client and non compliance, when do you think you can have the property in compliance?
It seems like a rhetorical question, but if we don't have guests there during the upcoming Biketoberfest event or the upcoming Bike Week event, would that suffice? Does it mean he can't have 3 or 4 people come by the house? Or because it appears as though a lot of your decision is based on the two events, Bike Week and Biketoberfest.
If you remember, Mr. Robinson, I specifically asked the inspector about his pictures, which were taken back in March, but I also asked him subsequent to that, because of the date of notification, was did he notice any other activity beyond the March 4th and March 6th date? And he first notified the respondent, according to the record, on July 14th, which would have been more than 4 months past those dates of the photos. And if we need to clarify again, we can bring the inspector up and ask him, has he noticed any other activity?
Well, we just have to have some quantifiable number of motorcycles that can be there or people that can be there so we know that we're not...
This board can't tell you that. That's not their responsibility. You have to sit down with staff and work that matter. All we can do is say, okay, we found you in noncompliance. We want to give you an opportunity to cure the problem before there's any consideration of fines. And usually what we do is we give the next cutoff date, our usual practice, and of course it's up to the board. And we'd bring you back next month to see if you're in compliance or not.
First.
What is it?
October 6th.
Do you believe that would be enough time for your client, Mr. Robinson, to bring the property into compliance?
Sure. Does it, what would it, I guess I'm asking the same question again. If we just didn't have people, we locked the house up for...
I don't think we can answer that question.
Yeah, I understand.
All we can find is you're in non-compliance. Going to give you to the 6th of October, the next cutoff date, and then we'll be hearing to impose fine at the next meeting. And they'll let us know whether you're in compliance or not. But what compliance is you've got to work that out with staff.
Okay. Yeah, I guess it's 6.
Chair would entertain a motion allowing the respondent until October 6, 2010 to bring the property into compliance to be returned to the board for consideration of a fine up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So moved. Second.
Second. Motion by Mr. Brown, second by Mr. Borens. Are there any questions or comments by members of the board?
Mm-hmm.
Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed, same sign. Motion carries. We will allow your...
Will the order be done in?
Yes.
Okay. You'll get a formal order.
Thank you for your time
and
courtesy.
Until October 6th to come into compliance, Mr. Brown.
No, 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 ask us, but that's a quick.
Thank you. Are we adjourned? Is there any miscellaneous business by any member of the board? Yes,
Mr. I just have a question. I read the article in the local paper. City offers amnesty program. I remember reading about that or hearing about that before. A dollar cap for code violators. Has that been effective?
Yes. Is it in effect yet, Tony?
Well, Amy is the expert on the amnesty program, and now we'll turn to Amy and
speak. Anyone come forth and paid anything? And
not as of yet. We're getting the notices out here very, very shortly. So it's in effect. We're working on it.
Yeah.
We have some people holding on to that.
And just to answer your question, Mr. Smart, we have attempted as a board for the last couple of months, we've attempted to cap fines so they wouldn't get to a point where they're $200,000 or $300,000 for a property that's only worth $30,000. So we've attempted to cap those fines.
We've done that last meeting.
Yes. Are there any other miscellaneous business by any member of the board?
Buying lunch? Why? No.
We're adjourned.
I make $6,000 a month.
Stephen,
yes.
Here.